to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. A weekly podcast where the discussion is about the most recent horror and genre films. Intelligent talk on a genre that deserves intelligence. A conversation between co-hosts discussing not only the film, but also the connotation that the directors and screenwriters are trying to articulate. When you want more than a review, listen to Dark Discussions.
And speaking of perception, there's just one more scene I want to talk about, which is after Caleb discovers that Kyoto's a robot, Kyoto kind of peels off her skin, showing him what's underneath.
Now, wait a minute. I know where you're going with this, but tell me you weren't already thinking this 15 minutes earlier in the film. Exactly what he's thinking at that moment.
Which is he's a robot, too.
Oh, I considered the possibility.
Right, and that's what I like, is the fact that the writers were smart enough to know that this is what the audience would be thinking.
We've all seen Blade Runner.
Right. Exactly.
www.darkdiscussions.com, wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
Just. This is Eric.
And someone just said, just from the state of New York?
Sorry, I was talking to one of the cats who's asking for treats after he just ate dinner. So this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Could be better. I'll explain in a second. Also, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Hey, everyone. This is Abe.
Abe, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. It's been a busy week of work, but overall not bad.
Very good. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Doing well.
Excellent. All right. So for folks who have just stumbled upon us, a lot of folks would probably stumble upon us tonight just for the fact that people are searching for these lists. And we'll discuss that in a moment, too. But we are Dark Discussions Podcast, part of the Dark Discussions Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com, a website that is updated daily with news, columns, release notices, podcasts, and various other things. Basically, if you follow genre news, darkdiscussions.com should be one of the places that you come to daily. You can find us on Dark Discussion 1 for Twitter. The email is darkdiscussions@aol.com, or you can just press contact us on the contact form on darkdiscussions.com, and that will also create an email. You can also follow us on the Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, where numerous conversations are being discussed, including top 10 lists, Wonder Woman 1984, The Stand, Star Trek Discovery, you name it. Discussions are going on there, and you can join in discussions or start your own. Also, we have some spinoff podcasts, up to 30 of them, including some of the co-hosts on this show do those podcasts, but they also have podcasts that have different hosts. So there's a little bit of everything for anyone. Out of the 30 or so podcasts on the network at www.darkdiscussions.com. You can find this podcast under Dark Discussions Podcast anywhere podcasts are found. So Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and so on, iHeartRadio, et cetera. All right, so I guess we can get into some of our discussions tonight. But before we do, this actually was supposed to be recorded last week, January 14th. Today we're actually recording it January 21st instead. The reason it was postponed was because I've been announcing this on some of my side podcasts that I've been doing with Kevin Letts and Barrett and various other people. My father came down with COVID on January 2nd, COVID-19. January 1st and December of last year, he was fine. And then out of the blue, he started having cold symptoms on the 2nd of January. They did COVID tests. Anybody that has that type of, problem, they do at the assisted living that he lives at, and he came up positive with COVID. And so the first 11 days, he had various other things that were wrong with him due to COVID, but his oxygen levels were staying high. And then on the 14th, his oxygen levels dropped considerably, and he passed away in the afternoon. So within 12 days, he is gone. So what that means is COVID most certainly is a dangerous disease, especially for those that are seniors, as well as those with other conditions. So everybody should definitely be safe. Just buried my father on Monday. So it has been a terrible year. 2020 was actually a good year. 2021 sucks. But with that stated, I am back, and podcasting actually takes your mind off of terrible things sometimes, even though some of the movies we and shows we talk about suck. So that's just some news there. Now I guess we can get into our topic tonight. So Eric, what are we doing tonight? What are we talking about?
Tonight we are looking back at 2020 and listing off our best of. We're going to do we each had a list of top 20 horror, and if we keep to the pattern of what we've done in the past, we're going to try and probably just skim over 20 through 11 of each of our individual lists, and then go through our top 10s, and then come up with our combined at the end, as well as our top 10 speculative fiction, which just a little advance warning on this for everybody listening. There wasn't a whole lot out there for us to watch this year, or either that or we just didn't watch it. So, yeah, we were all scrambling a little bit to fill out that list when this episode was coming up. So just prepare yourself for that. But yeah, this is our best of 2020 episode.
Yes, indeed. And we have some notes here that we had up to 41 different horror films that were on someone's list, top 20 list. And for speculative fiction, which it means basically genre films that aren't horror, we had 28 that made our top 10 lists. Couple of notes. Abe had 19 horror films while everybody else had 20. And speculative fiction, everybody had 10 except for Barrett, who has 9. Also of note, Chrissy was going to join us, but unfortunately she just could not put together her list in time, and so she said to go on without her. However, some films of note that she would have noted as best of for her would be films like Skyman and You Should Have Left, among other, you know, thinking type and ghost type films. We'll try to get her to give us her lists, or at least some films in an upcoming episode where she can just let us know some of the films that she did like, even if it is not a true list. And Mike, now we have a bunch of questions or something that you actually made up a long time ago. And we've carried it over now for every year that we do this. What are these questions or lists or whatever you're talking about here?
Well, it's just sort of what was my own wrap up with the Unnatural Selections blog, which I just like. The only thing I do now with it is my annual post, which I could probably I'll just move over to the Dark Discussions website. There's sort of which I post on on the eve of the Oscars. Is, you know, my awards for the year was what it was, and you know, it's basically whatever originally started, kind of whatever I popped into my mind and things I wanted to call out and signify for being particularly good or particularly shit, depending on what it was. Then it sort of morphed into a traditional list here on Dark Discussions, although some categories don't always have a lot of competition. So, you know, some years, like, there's no real winner for best werewolf film because there isn't a werewolf film.
Yeah, wasn't there one werewolf film that
there were? Well, I don't know how.
Kind of sort of werewolf.
Werewolf was on the list you sent me, Phil.
Yeah, I didn't. That's right. We took it off because we just never got enough.
That's
right. There were two that I would sort of qualify as a werewolf film without getting into too much into spoilers. One of which was really great. One of which was really cheesy, but also kind of really great. But it's very, very for completely the opposite reasons. And at least one of those was a real honest werewolf film. Definitely. The other is more debatable.
Indeed. Indeed. So yeah, so some categories we've dropped from prior years, such as best werewolf film, because it just isn't enough. Some years we have dozens of films in a category, like, you know, best zombie film, best vampire film, whatever.
Found footage.
Best found footage film, exactly.
Right, and when this podcast started another age ago, you couldn't swing a stick without hitting another found footage film. And I think, did we review any found footage films this year?
Yes.
One at least, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that soon enough. So some of these questions will be hard to answer, meaning everybody will probably have different answers because
I have two categories without an answer.
Right. Yeah, I think I may have one. I have one. So, in that category that I have no answer, usually there's like 20 different films of that category, and this year there's just none. It's kind of interesting. Some of that may be because of COVID, where a lot of films are pushed back and are still being pushed back. And now that the pandemic is looking like it's even going to get worse, I would suddenly see films like A Quiet Place 2 and whatever. They're going to have to decide what they're going to do with all these films and Black Widow and on. Fortunately, Warner Brothers has made their decision. We'll see what other companies do.
And I have to say, as weird as 2020 was for movies and as many movies got pushed out, I've got to say I'm fairly satisfied with my top 20 list here for horror films. I got a pretty good list.
I agree. My top 10 films, in my opinion, were good enough to be top 10 in any other year, to be honest, even if there were less films. So that's a fair point, Eric. The year really was not bad for films. It just wasn't as many films.
And we didn't see the blockbusters, right? All those are the ones that got pushed out.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, which is not really a big deal because usually a lot of our lists every year, it seems, are films, as Mike once said on Horror Etc. when he made a phone call to them, was most of the films on the end of year list are going to be films that no one ever even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that many times where all these films pop out of nowhere, like Come Back to Me was a good example from a few years ago that popped up and whatnot. So a lot of films weren't even on our, you know, hopeful watch list. They just appeared, and then you, Eric, or someone would watch and go, "Holy smokes, that's a really good film."
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's becoming a little less common than it used to be, simply because in the almost 10 years since we started doing this, good God, the horror community has grown exponentially. And there's a whole lot more Facebook pages and a whole lot more podcasts talking about it. So you don't really get those hidden movies the way you used to, because almost always somebody's talking about them. But I understand the spirit of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's basically social media has grown. And with social media growing, the horror online community has grown as well. And that's an excellent point, Eric. Absolutely.
And speaking of which, you were trying to describe the Dark Discussions Network earlier, and I just want to point out that although there are some spinoff podcasts from Dark Discussions, many of the podcasts that have joined us recently are coming on from the Horrorphilia Network, run by Jason Lloyd. Jason Lloyd has decided to hang up his mic. He's retiring from podcasting and shutting down the Horrorphilia Network. So that will be all wrapped up next month, by the end of February, from what I last remember. And, a lot of those folks have decided to come over and join us. So we welcome them and we hope you're enjoying your new home.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of the podcasts are actually doing quite well too. Cut to the Chase, Fresh Cuts, NFW, His and Hers podcasts. and various others are doing really well, especially the ones that are more prolific. The more prolific podcasts, as Mike has always said, are the ones that keep the listener base and grow quicker. And that's kind of how we grew, is because we were pretty consistent. Every week, people could count generally for us to have a new episode out.
And you can put that as a feather in your cap, Phil. You're the one who's kept that going year after year after year because of your ingenious strategy of having material ready to go. So thank you.
And, yes, and your obsessive compulsive personality that just
yes
that is unable to just keep procrastinating, putting things off, which is what would totally happen with me.
It does happen sometimes to me too. But I mean, for example, my father passing with COVID, obviously if it was a different way I ran the podcast, there would have not been an episode ready to go. But fortunately, Love and Monsters episode was ready to go, and it still was able to come out the day after the unfortunate passing of my father. So we've been able to, as you said, Eric, have something in the can ready to go, even days or weeks that we can't record. So. And that's the reason why we now do a weekly thing, which I think I already did, which is today is January 21st, because some of our listeners, like Pam, always want to know when we record episodes, because sometimes they are released maybe 6 weeks and in a few cases a year later.
Hopefully this one will go out next week.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's what we're hoping. Maybe even tomorrow, depending on.
Ambitious.
Yeah, we never know.
That'd be cool.
Exactly. All right, so how do we want to do this? The scoring system. Yeah, so scoring system is a little different this year, but generally it's the same idea. Basically ranking films, and everybody gives a score to it. And the highest score of the list is the best film of the year as a Dark Discussions
Cumulative.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you so much. I would have been sitting here for another 5 minutes trying to get that one. So that's what we did here. So we actually took a page out of what's the podcast that did that best 100 of the decade?
Eric? Exploding Heads Horror Movie Podcast.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So Eric suggested that. Try that out this year, and so we're doing it that way. So everybody gives a score, and you add up the score for the films, and there you go. There's your average, or not average, but your point score. All right, so I guess we can start. Before we start, anybody want to explain anything about what they did, why they did it, or how we do it, besides what we just talked about?
Well, my methodology is pretty simple. I have a Letterboxd account, and as I watch movies throughout the year, I rate them and put them in a list, and I just kind of keep that list going all year long. And so when the end of the year comes up, I've pretty much got it all sorted out already. I just have to kind of squint at it a little bit and figure out if everything's where I want it to be.
Yes, and speaking of procrastination, Mike, there's my procrastination. Is every year in January I plan to do that, and then I fall to the wind after February.
If you just get into the habit, Phil, it makes life so much easier at the end of the year.
Yeah,
you're right.
Getting that habit too.
Yeah. So far I haven't been watching much movies, anyways, recently, because I've been playing video games, playing Cyberpunk 2077. Excellent game, by the way. Excellent game. All right, so Mike didn't say anything because Mike usually has something to say. He didn't. I thought you would.
Well, look, Letterboxd is good, and I was able to go through Eric's list to remind myself of all the films that we reviewed this year. And I got to be honest, there's some films I have completely forgotten that we did this year. And that left no mark. I mean, I think we've all been through stuff this last year. Most, if not all of us, have had losses in our family. But even if you remove that, it's just been such a mentally and emotionally numbing year, at least for me.
There was one movie on my list where I was seriously like, what is that? What, like, I had to go look it up on IMDb.
What
is that?
Which one was that by any by chance?
Oh, man, it's not even in my top 20, but it was, let's see, it was something like The Faceless Man.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, what is that?
Oh, yeah, that actually, didn't that come out late in the year, too? And oh, no, it came out early. I don't know. Yeah,
but it was The Faceless Man. And, yeah. and it's
wicked long, too. It's like 2 hours and
it's in a pretty low budget. And now that I remember what it is, I liked it all right. But like, just they've got different covered art on Letterboxd than they used to. And I was just staring at this poster going, what is this? I don't even remember watching it. So I think that's what Mike's talking about.
Yeah, and for me it was Dark Encounter.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which was a very for me very fairly generic alien abduction kind of sort of thing. I did not remember we had watched the movie. When I saw the movie, I didn't like title on Eric's list, and I looked up the episodes that Phil had released this year. I went, we did it.
Yeah, it took me a second to remember that one, too.
And it was early in 2020, and so it was in that point of 2020 where my list was up to date, so it was on my Letterboxd list. So it was there, so I had to have watched it, and I had to do some serious, like, hypnotherapy to recover any memories of what that that movie was. And, oh, right, it was an alien. I didn't really remember that at all. it was weird. Anyhow.
It is what it is. All right, sounds good. So how we've done in the past is everybody reads off their list. Hopefully we won't have explanations on those films yet. Then we would read off the definitive list, and then we would go back to everybody's individual list, and they would only really discuss some of the films that we didn't do as episodes.
Mm.
I think that's how we've done in the past.
I don't know if you're right about that, but I'm game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can't even remember. It's been a year ago. So I forget.
It's been so long.
Indeed. I can remember things that happened 30 years ago like it was yesterday, but I can't remember the list from, say, 12 right? months ago.
Oh, dear.
Indeed. All right. So we'll go alphabetical order. So we just need your list. So, Abe.
Wait, before we start, are we doing the whole list at once? Are we doing 20 through 11 and then going back and doing 10 through 1? Or?
Oh, yes. Abe will go from... In his case, since he only has 19 films for horror, his 19th best all the way to his first. Because it's just a list.
Okay, so we're going to do our entire list and then our cumulative list and then discussion about individual titles.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
All right, so Abe, what do you got from 19 to 1 for best horror films?
So let me just double check. You moved Swallow, correct?
Yes, we moved that over to the other list.
Okay, so it's going to get a little weird. Give me a second.
just not that weird. Just version just 4 that I sent you.
No, it's just because I'm looking at what I had beforehand.
Oh, yeah, just open up spreadsheet version 4.
I got it right here.
The list is right there.
All right, here we go. So for number 19 of my list is Body Cam. Number 18... Underwater. Next is Honeymoon Phase. Next is You Should Have Left.
Add the number before your title.
All right, let's try this again. All right, so number 19, Body Cam. Number 18, Underwater. Number 17, The Honeymoon Phase. Number 16, You Should Have Left. Number 15, The Deeper You Dig. Number 14, The Lodge. Number 13, True Fiction. Number 12, The Mortuary Collection. Number 11, The Color Out of Space. Number 10, Hosts. Number 9, 1BR. Number 8, Sputnik. Number 7, Open 24 Hours. Number 6 is Sea Fever. After that, and number 5 is Mom or Mother of Monsters. Number 4 is VFW. Number 3 is The Wretched. Number 2 is We Summon the Darkness. And my number 1 is The Dark and the Wicked.
Okay, thanks, Abe.
For folks who are listening, number 10, Hosts, is Hosts plural, because there are two Host films this year, one called just simply Host, and there's another called Hosts with an S. And Hosts with the S is, well, they're both British films, but the Host with an S is...
Set around the holidays.
Yes, thank you, because they're both demon films. I'm trying to think of something.
It's not the Zoom call movie.
Right. There you go. Yes. It's not the Zoom call film. Excellent.
Wait, the other one was a British film? The Zoom call film?
They're both British films.
I didn't remember that was a British film. All right.
Yeah, they're all
Swedes.
They're all limeys. Yeah, all Swedes. So let's go with Barrett with a B.
All right. Number 20, Body Cam. 19, Underwater. 18, 1BR. 17, Host. That's without the S, Host. 16, The Babysitter, Killer Queen. 15, Sea Fever. 14, The Wretched. 13, The Lodge. 12, We Summon the Darkness. 11, The Beach House. 10, Color Out of Space. 9, Sputnik. 8, True Fiction. 7, The Hunt. 6, Possessor. 5, Open 24 Hours. 4, VFW. 3, Fantasy Island. 2, Anything for Jackson. And 1 is The Invisible Man.
All right, very good. E for Eric.
That's me. Number 20 on my list is The Closet. Number 19 is Open 24 Hours. Number 18 is Sputnik. Number 17 is Hunter Hunter. Number 16 is The Beach House. Number 15 is The Honeymoon Phase. Number 14 is Don't Listen. Number 13 is Underwater. Number 12 is Color Out of Space. Number 11 is 1BR. Number 10 is The Call. Number 9 is MOM, Mother of Monsters. Number 8 is The Cleansing Hour. Number 7 is Alone. Number 6 is The Rental. Number 5 is The Dark and the Wicked. Number 4 is Anything for Jackson. Number 3 is Possessor. Number 2 is The Hunt. And number 1 is The Invisible Man.
And folks who are curious, Alone, that film that Eric mentioned, is the road horror film, not the zombie horror film. Because both came out the same year with the same name. This one is Alone by John Hyams.
Yes, John Hyams.
So just a heads up for folks.
Yeah, there were a few movies with that title this year.
Indeed, there was. Oddly,
at
one of them.
At least three that I know of.
Yes. And oddly, one of them was a remake of a Korean film that is on my list and Mike's list. So, Mike.
All right. Starting at number 20 is Alone.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah. And by the way, I will say this. I probably should have said it before. When you get down to this part of the list, it's often a lot of clustering. And I'll usually pick something that I want to bring attention to, and Alone is one I did want to bring attention to. We did do an episode about it, and we did interview the director, and I think it is worth checking out, especially the last hour. I think it's a little weak in the beginning, but it's worth sitting through. All right, number 19 is Possessor Uncut. Number 18 is Hosts. with Santa Claus. Number 17 was open 24 hours. 16, oh yeah, I forgot about this movie. Was it Room or The Room?
The Room.
The Room. All right. The Room. On Shudder, also on Shudder, The Mortuary Collection, number 15, the anthology film. Number 14, Geriatric Horror in VFW. Number 13, Host, the found footage film. Number 12, Becky. Number 11, The Wretched. Number 10, The Honeymoon Phase. Number 9, Anything for Jackson. Number 8, The Wolf of The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Number 7, 1BR. Number 6, Hashtag Alive. Number 5, The Cleansing Hour. Number 4, Scare Me. Number 3, The Hunt. Number 2, The Invisible Man. And number 1 was Colorado Space.
All right, very good. Wolf of Swallow or something. That's what she said.
This is going back. Wolf of Swallow. Mike's got a great relationship with wolves.
All right, so my list, P for Phil, or Philip. Number 20, Pound Alive, or Hashtag Alive. Number 19, MOM, Mothers of Monsters. Number 18, Color Out of Space. Number 17, The Honeymoon Phase. Number 16, The Room. Number 15, Rent a Pal. Number 14, The Beach House. Number 13, Sputnik. Number 12, Her Name Was Krista, with a C. Number 11, The Rental. Number 10, You Should Have Left. Number 9, The Invisible Man. Number 8, Hosts, with an S. Number 7, Anything for Jackson. Number 6, 1BR. Number 5, Alone. Number the road movie. Number 4, The Wretched. Number 3, We Summon the Darkness. Number 2, VFW. And number 1, The Lodge. All right. So we have the top 20 of the cumulative list. And Mike, why don't you read it out? It starts with The Beach House and goes up from 20 to 1.
That'd be great.
A couple of ties in there.
Yeah, it'd be great. I don't actually happen to have that in front of me, though.
I can do it.
You got it? Okay.
So this is our top 20 cumulative of Dark Discussions. Number 20, The Beach House. Number 19, The Honeymoon Phase. Number 18, The Rental. Number 17, Hosts. Number 16, The Cleansing Hour. Number 15, MOM, Mothers of Monsters. Number 14, Alone. Number 13, The Lodge. Number 12, Possessor. Number 11, The Dark and the Wicked. Number 10, Open 24 Hours. Number 9, Sputnik. Number 8, We Summon the Darkness. Number 7, The Hunt. Number 6, The Wretched. Number 5, Color Out of Space. Number 4, 1BR. Number 3, VFW. Number 2, Anything for Jackson. And number 1, The Invisible Man.
Shock and horror and amazement.
Now, one note is Sputnik, Open 24 Hours, and The Dark and the Wicked were actually tied.
Yes, they had the same score. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Where is this all list, right, Phil?
He sent it to us in a Facebook message.
Version 4 of the spreadsheet. I sent you that version 4 of the spreadsheet.
I don't – was it in the normal Dark Discussions conversation?
Yeah, that's Richard. Yep.
I don't see it.
There's actually – There's a separate chat for the Looking Back episode.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay. That must be why then. That explains it.
I don't know if that's where the list is, though. I'm looking at it right now.
I see. All right. Yeah, I was just looking in the regular discussion podcast.
There it is. That's where it is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we had a separate meeting because we didn't want to bombard Christy with a bunch of emails because she wasn't a part of that this episode.
I didn't care.
Well. So that's where the list is. So I'm assuming Michael will be opening it up as we discuss things.
Got it.
Gotcha. All right. So Mike's opening it up. But let's see. Let's start. Let's go backwards. So Eric, Barrett, Abe, Phil, and Mike. So Eric, you out of your top 10, and mm-hmm. I mean top 20, and then you know, then we'll discuss the final cumulative list after. Any films that we haven't done episodes on, or films that you want to mention again that you know, as I would say emphasis, but you know.
There's a few here that we didn't do episodes on. One is Hunter Hunter. People might debate whether or not that's actually a horror movie or not. I found some stuff in that movie to be very horrific, so that's why it's on this list. Don't Listen is a Spanish language movie that's on Netflix that I thought was actually quite good. So I'd recommend seeking that out. Number 20 on my list is The Closet. It's actually a Korean film on, I believe it's on Shudder. You can find that there. And the Koreans just do horror movies in a way that I enjoy. It's not quite the standard Hollywood formula. And I don't know what it is, but I usually groove on it. And then number 10 on my list is The Call, which is the first time – it's a South Korean movie, and it's the first time I've seen an Asian remake of an English-language movie. It's usually the other way around. But this is a remake of a 2011 movie called The Caller, and the Korean version is actually quite good. You can find that on Netflix, so I'd recommend that. And then the other one I'd mention is one that Mike also had on his list that's on Shudder called The Cleansing Hour. It's pretty much a one-room possession movie. But I really like the way they did it. So I'd recommend that one too.
Very good. Let me see, Eric. The Don't Listen, that was a supernatural film, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right. And Hunter Hunter starred, I think his name's Dana Sawa or something. Isn't that right?
Is that his name? Oh, yeah, that is the name of somebody in the movie. Devin Sawa.
Devin, okay, yeah. So the guy from the Final Destination, he was the star of the first Final Destination.
Was he really?
Yeah, believe it or not. He was an A-lister back in those days, and then he became more of a character actor later on. And then The Hunt, right? We didn't do an episode on that because...
We did not. I don't know why.
It was... We were supposed to. That was the next episode we were going to do right after Fantasy Island. And then COVID hit. And me and Chrissy both said, nix that. We said we didn't want to go to theaters.
That's right.
Right. That was March 13th is the day it opened.
The last movie I saw in the theater.
Exactly. Me too. So I remember it was March 13th. That was the day we found out the schools were closed for 2 weeks.
right.
And we went in and they had the whole every other seat thing, I think, going on. Now they're down to 10% capacity in the local theater. So that was it. That was my last movie for 6 months, I think.
Yeah, I remember that was actually around the same time that I found out my company had to close up because someone was exposed.
Yeah, I was going to go. I was going to go see The Hunt, and the theaters closed down before I could see it. So the last movie I saw was The Invisible Man in theater.
Yeah, they came down right here.
My last film.
Wait, you saw The Invisible Man in theater?
Shut up, Mike.
right. And then The Hunt became one of those $24 rentals. And then finally, like in December, it dropped down to like $6.99, and we just never did an episode on it.
Yeah, never got around to it.
Yeah. All right, very well. Anybody have any further questions for Eric and his list? Anyone? All right, let's go with you, Barrett. What do you got? Any films on your list that you wanted to bring up, either for further emphasis or films that never were discussed before?
Possessor, I thought, was a really good movie. It's by Brandon Cronenberg, David Cronenberg's son. It's a pretty interesting film. It's basically about an assassin, and that's about all I'll say. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that came out Q4, I think. So it was near the end of the year too. And
it was actually really good.
Oh, sorry.
It was actually in theaters in the fall, and I just managed to catch it while I was in theaters, but I caught it like right beforehand. But it did manage to get a theatrical release at least.
Yeah, it's a decent movie.
It was good. Yeah, I know Eric recommended it, and you recommended it, and a handful of other folks on that media, social media stuff that Eric mentioned about the horror community mentioned it too. As something to check out. So, all right, that's good. Anything else, sir? Barrett?
Let's see. No, I don't think... I mean, I saw the Babysitter Killer Queen. I don't think it was as good as the first one. It was fun, but that's about all I can say about it. So, yeah, everything else I think you guys have done episodes on, or I've been in episodes on, so...
Yeah, by the way, this was a tough list for me, because there really were movies that I kind of assumed were going to end up in my top 20 that ended up like in my mid to lower 20s. And one of those was Killer Queen, was Babysitter 2. I was surprised at how much I really enjoyed it, with one exception to it. And I definitely give people a recommend, since it is on Netflix and just about everybody is now legally required to have a Netflix subscription. You can watch it for free on Netflix. And if you enjoyed the first, you would probably enjoy this.
Yep, I agree. If you enjoyed the first one, this one's worth watching. And I enjoyed the first one a lot. I don't think this one's quite up to that level, but it's good.
It isn't. It isn't, and it doesn't take itself seriously. Neither should you.
Yep.
and be prepared, I thought, for a disappointing ending. Mm-hmm. And that's really my only gripe with the film. And was it Samara Weaving? Is that the actress?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So she went on to bigger and better things after The Babysitter. So don't expect, she is in the film, but it is a very small role. So don't like be too disappointed about her lack of presence.
That's interesting. I did not know that she was not really the star. How about that?
Very small part in it. Yeah.
Wow. So Mike, even though they're advertising with her, they're really pushing the film with her on, you know, the trailer and all that. Mike, you didn't have it on your top 20, but you still recommend it, is what you're saying.
It was like 24, 25, I think, on my list when you get down to it. And honestly, by the time you get off my top 20, I stop really caring about exactly where you are.
Sure. All right, sounds good. Anybody else have any questions for Barrett's list? All right, no problems. For folks who are curious, all these lists will be on the darkdiscussions.com page as well. So it won't be there immediately, but it's going to be there pretty close to a day or two after the release of this episode. So
I actually do have one question for Barrett.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fantasy Island?
I like it. It's a nostalgia thing for me. Nostalgia.
All right.
I would give Fantasy Island the not as bad as everybody said it was award.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Number three.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Looking at my list, I would probably put Possessor where you put it, and put Fantasy Island down, maybe where The Hunt is, and move The Hunt up one.
All right. Okay. We can move on. I just had to call it out.
I understand. It's more nostalgia than anything else, and I thought they did a good job on that end, the nostalgia end. It was fun for me. So,
yeah, that's fair. All right, sounds good. All right, Abe. Basically, I think we've done episodes on pretty much every film here. But is any films you wanted to put emphasis on your list?
Well, overall, it was just a matter of what stayed with me the most over the year. I mean, we ended up covering a lot of films, but I kind of just pay attention to ones and try to figure out, you know, kind of narrow down to the ones that, you know, had some kind of staying impact for me, whether it's it disturbed me the most or they were the most fun, or they were the most in depth to dissect during podcast episodes, and or they had some a certain scene that was just like, wow, I won't be able to forget that part, and. I mean, that's really it. I mean, if you want more details on what everyone thinks, because we did cover all these, you can just go to the episodes. But really, that's how I kind of figured out this one, because it was a little trickier than usual, because there were films I hadn't got a chance to see, and also things in the theater I haven't got to go and check out, which kind of threw a wrench into what the list could have been.
All right, sounds good. Yep. And all 19 films on your list were episodes of Dark Discussions. So just go to darkdiscussions.com and go to the search section. There's a search button, and type in any film, and it'll pop up. So very good. And episodes will appear. All right, so for Philip, films I wanted to bring up. Note. Again, most of mine are similar to Abe's, which were already episodes.
Was Trista. I never heard of that.
Yeah. It's an interesting film. It's it popped up on Diabolic DVD as a purchase. That's a website that sells a lot of genre films, and it looked interesting, the cover. And so I found it on Facebook, and their Facebook page seemed pretty cool. So I. Actually, pre-ordered it through the Facebook website because at the time it hadn't been brought out on VOD or disc on Amazon yet. Now it's everywhere, and so I bought it, and out of the blue, I got a text from them asking, "Hey, have you watched the film yet?" You know, and I said, "Oh, so this is it's a real independent film." I wasn't really quite sure, so I said, "No, but all right, I'll watch it tonight." And so I watched it that night, and it's about a 2-hour movie, and it's really good. It's about a possible unreliable narrator. Basically, this guy meets, a escort or something, and he and her fall in love, and at work, he has this buddy of his that's kind of trying to push him into, you know, working on that relationship. And then something happens that goes awry, and then there's some issues with the mental health, behavioral health individuals occur. And, it turns into a shocking,
Wait, are you talking about Wackadoodles?
Yeah. Well, I'm being as vague as possible without giving away anything. And so, yeah, I texted the guy back or the Facebook page back, and said, yeah, it was a really good film. I was surprised. And they started asking me questions and stuff like, was it too long? Was it this? Was that? And then I found out that I was actually talking to the director. And
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I actually got Anthony Thurber of Anthony T's Horror Show to interview him. So you can go check out that. But her name was Krista. I'm trying to bring up the IMDb because it's probably better just to read that than try to not screw up here. Give away too much, but
you can get on IMDb for that.
Yeah, they usually screw it up anyway. But this is what it says: 2020 horror romance thriller came out February 14th. Steven is a socially awkward middle-aged telemarketer and is desperately alone. At the suggestion of Nick, a coworker, he goes out into the night to find a prostitute for the girlfriend experience. With this, he meets Krista, a streetwise call girl who's happy to fill his needs, yet something unexpected happens. What starts as a business or agreement blossoms into true love, but what happens when death enters the picture? How far would you go to keep the one person you've always wanted?
All right.
Yeah. So that was a pretty good film. I kept on having it as a possible episode, but for some reason I never added it to the potential episode list. And so when we always would look for episodes, I forgot to always mention it. So,
well, that would explain why I've never heard of it.
What's that again?
I said that would explain why I've never heard of it. Because you never mentioned it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I never did. It's kind of weird. I don't know why. So, except I didn't. Well, I know why, because I forgot to put it on the list. All right, and let's see other films. Hashtag Alive. I'll let Mike talk about that one because he had it higher on his list. Rent-A-Pal is another interesting film, and that's another interesting film that I am going to destroy if I try to explain this. I'll just go straight to IMDb and not ruin it. I did write a
IMDb review. Will never ruin it.
Okay, so set in 1990, even though I felt it was like mid-80s, a lonely bachelor named David searches for an escape from the day-to-day drudgery of caring for his aging mother. While seeking a partner through a video dating service, he discovers a strange VHS tape called Rent-A-Pal. Hosted by the charming and charismatic Andy, the tape offers him much-needed company, compassion, and friendship. But Andy's friendship comes at a cost, and David desperately struggles to afford the price of admission. And I know Eric's seen this film. So as Eric mentioned earlier in his terminology, this film is another wackadoodle film. So behavioral health individual. And it's kind of similar with her name was Krista, actually, how the whole ending happened. So, yeah, that is interesting. Didn't even think of that until right now. And let's see, everything else I think we've done episodes on. Yeah, so I only had three that we didn't do episodes on. So any questions for my list? Anybody? Anyone besides Eric asking about her name was Krista? All right, sounds good. I think actually her name from Krista would have got some points, because I know Barrett, you would like that film for sure. But again, since it was only on one list, it wasn't going to get many points. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, a lot of the movies here we did, or Eric has mentioned, certainly The Hunt is one I've kind of wanted to do all year, but we haven't because we were waiting for the price to drop, and then it kind of was out of the loop, right? It was just, it was not au courant, you know, so we didn't do it. I'll also second him on The Cleansing Hour. The one that's highest on my list that I really enjoyed, I don't know if there's an episode in it, and I just put it up really high on my list because it was one of the most creative films I saw this year. It was Scare Me, which I have talked about in a previous episode, and all it really is two horror writers pitching stories to each other. It's a fictional story. They're not real horror writers, but they're telling stories in a cabin in the woods, telling their stories to each other, trying to scare each other, but also working on and help suggesting ways to improve each other's stories. And it's all done just through performance of these two actors actually telling the story and sound effects work and some lighting, right? So you don't actually see the stories. It's not an anthology film, which is what I was expecting it to be. And I just found it compelling and creative that they managed to do all of this really with just two people in a room.
I'm sorry, okay. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, I did end up watching that. It didn't make my top 20, but I did enjoy it quite a bit.
I got to check it out. It sounds like cool.
My question, though, is it actually a horror film or is it just a drama?
It's a horror film.
Okay, so something bad does happen. Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe, right. But it's in terms of creepiness, atmosphere, I think it qualifies as a horror film, and it's also on Shudder, which makes it a horror film.
Okay, so it's on Shudder. All right.
So yeah, and I can totally get it not being on someone's top 20. This is one. I would say of everything on the list, it's probably the one that most personally kind of hit me, that in a way that I like wouldn't expect everyone to necessarily have an impact in a similar way. So there's that. The Cleansing Hour is maybe one of the better exorcism films I've seen in a while, and I don't know why. Because I don't. This is one I actually would kind of like to do an episode on, because I kind of like to pick apart at and figure out why it seemed to have an impact on me the way it did. Hashtag Alive was a zombie film. That's a Korean zombie film. A much better Korean zombie film than Peninsula, which was the sequel to Train to Busan. It seemed very similar to, was it Night Eats World, which was the French zombie film that came out a couple years ago. And that's mostly focusing on a person trapped in an apartment in the days immediately after a zombie apocalypse. And again, a lot of creativity. You know, what do they do to stretch the story out in that fairly restrictive setting? Wolf of Snow Hollow is a thriller horror film about people getting brutally murdered by a savage beast on the night of a full moon. But it has some really, really sharp dialogue. It also features the final performance of Robert Forster. And I just thought it was a fun film, and I would certainly recommend that one.
I just saw it really cheap on Amazon Prime, so I picked it up, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, it's good. I definitely recommend it.
Okay, so that one you can rent right now. It's not free. Hashtag Alive is Amazon free. It's free on Netflix. Free on Netflix. I keep on saying pound.
I know.
I'm so used to saying pound.
I know.
It's Hash Brown Alive.
Yes. And let's see. A Scare Me, you said Shudder. And the Cleansing Room is Cleansing Hour is Shudder as well. For Her Name Was Krista, that's a rental for, actually it's 99 cents rental right now on Amazon and $2.99 on Yahoo. Rent-A-Pal is free on
Yahoo.
Hulu.
Rents movies?
What's that?
Yahoo rents movies?
They do, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. They are
doing anything they can to stay relevant.
Huh. Yes, exactly. Rent-A-Pal is Hulu. The Babysitter Killer Queen we mentioned was Netflix. And Possessor is rental pretty much anywhere. All right, so anything else that anybody has questions for Mike? All right, Let's go with you, Eric.
We already did me.
Yeah. You're right. Totally. So you know what that means is we now can dissect our cumulative list. So once again, to get the top 10, it's pretty good list, I think. Dark and the
solid.
Wicked. Yeah, it's pretty solid. Dark and the Wicked. How do we redo that? The Dark and the Wicked. Open 24 Hours and Sputnik are tied for 9th/10th place. We Summon the Darkness, tip my hat to Taylor's brother, at number 8. The Hunt, as we discussed, number 7. The Wretched, which was the top grossing film of the summer at theaters because of the drive-in, at number 6. Color Out of Space, the Lovecraft adaption that Mike has promoted big throughout the year,
one,
as well
so.
As many.
Yeah, that's 5.
What's that?
You're off by one number.
Forgot.
It's Color Out of Space is 5. Yeah.
You're right. The Wretched is 6, and The Color Out of Space is 5. All right. And then 1BR, also an early film, such as Color Out of Space, is number 4, where we actually did an episode where we interviewed the director, the producer, and the leading actress. And then VFW. We sure did. The VFW, or VFW, was, I think, the first quote-unquote big horror film that was released, so another early episode of the podcast. And anything for Jackson, which was a Q4 release on Shudder. And then The Invisible Man, one of the last, the second to last film I saw, or the tertiary or the final, depending on the four or five of us. Basically, one of the last films we've all saw at theaters before the pandemic hit. That was
because it got put at number one on my list pretty much at the beginning of the year, and just nothing knocked it off. It just stayed there, which is not usually the way that goes.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is that, the VFW was mine, and then it got knocked off by The Lodge. And speaking of the top first place for everybody, The Lodge is the only one out of the five of us, which was my pick, that did not make the top 10 cumulative list. It actually was 11th.
It didn't quite make my top 20. It was at 23, though. It was right outside. So like right outside my top 20, we're still – I could probably go up to number 28 on my list and still recommend those movies without having any guilt on my conscience. So like the Wolf of Host Now, The Lodge, Becky, those guys were right outside my 20.
Yeah, I had like in my – right after 20, I had Mom and The Lodge, His House – After Midnight, and I really would have expected any one of those to have made it to my top 20 list earlier in the year. Come Play, I saw in theaters, I really liked, was only 27. Deeper You Dig, I really liked that film, was 28. So that really tells you this was a very, very good year. I really regret, I really would have liked to put Deeper You Dig up on my top 20 list, and it was 28.
Yeah.
Right. I actually, we'll discuss that film later. But I actually had Underwater as my 21st. And even though it got a lot of backlash, and it's the film that, another film that Hollywood is trying to tell us that Kristen Stewart is a star when no one believes it, is a film that I could rewatch multiple times and still enjoy it as popcorn fare. So I could have easily had that in my top 20, the bottom half of the top 20, and it just fell off. So, just a heads up on there.
Yeah, that's another one I probably will end up watching again. But I did see it. I honestly thought it was a terrible script, but it had some moments, and obviously a great ending, kind of. But I see it on a lot of people's lists, so it's one I might revisit to see if I need to reevaluate it.
And for me, I don't think The Lodge is embarrassing to have as number one because it is
no
on a lot of top 10 lists. So I don't think my list was out of whack by having that higher than you folks.
Who embarrasses Barrett for fantasy?
Okay, fine. I'd move Fantasy Irons.
Too late now, you putz.
I'm just giving you a hard time, man.
I know.
No, this is the thing. This is meant to be fun. These are completely arbitrary. If you would ask, look, I watched two other movies since we submitted these lists a week ago. If I had wanted to, I maybe could have told Phil, Phil, hold the presses, but no, who gives a shit? Because the film I saw.
Same thing. I watched a couple. I was like, screw it. We already submitted them.
Yeah, because this film that I watched, which was technically, I guess, a 2018 Korean release, but I think was 2020 in the United States, was Monstrum, which was a Korean monster film. It would have been in my 15 to 25 range. And is that worth upsetting the list for? No. it is not. So it's just not. Monstrum.
Well, and I really liked The Lodge. It just was so depressing for me. It kind of moved it down.
I thought it was a well-made film. It's just certain bits where I felt kind of kept it from going higher, but it did make it to my my final 20. This list is meant to be fun, and it kind of just really shows the different flavors and tastes of everyone here. And, it's at least the giant never made it to the top.
glad I never watched it.
We knew it was going to come up. We still have another list to go through, and the giant might get mentioned again.
I just want to
mentioned a couple of times.
I just wanted to ask a question about a film called La Llorona. There was an American film based off that myth that was mediocre, supposedly. And so this new film that came out in 2020 on Shudder called La Llorona, or The Weeping Woman, if you
I heard that one's
emphasize
best.
That's a Guatemalan film, and Amy Rain had it as her best horror film of the year, and everybody talks about how good it is, and Rotten Tomatoes did too, and I just don't think any of us saw it, right?
Chrissy saw it. She loved it. But this is part of the problem, right? When you don't have theatrical releases, if we don't do it as an episode, it's very scattershot as to whether or not we cover it. I ended up devoting a lot of time this year to a couple of video games, which I don't normally do. It's one reason I don't play as many games as I used to, and that ate it up about 2 months of my free time doing, or maybe 3 months doing Skyrim and Far Cry 5 and Far Cry New Dawn.
Best game.
I didn't say that.
Far Cry.
And then other things. Right. So basically, if it wasn't for the pie, and then other things ate up my time too with the pandemic and you know, having to rewrite Warcraft everything for work. I ended up watching a lot more TV. But the point is, I didn't watch as many movies this year as I normally would have. So almost, if you look at my list, most of what's on there is stuff that we did on the podcast, or I thought maybe that we were going to. And obviously, listen, it's a compiled list. If five people voted for it, or four people voted for it, then it's going to get more votes. It's going to go closer to the top. That's kind of how that works.
Yes.
So. And if something is a magnificent film, let's say La Llorona, and Chrissy is the only one who saw it, and she didn't submit a list for us, and we didn't see it, it's not going up there. So what does that tell us about the list? It doesn't mean shit except for, hey, here are some movies we liked. And I think we say this every year. At this point, if you've listened to this podcast enough, you know what we like, and you should look at our individual lists. Because you like what Abe likes, and if Abe likes this, then you'll probably like what's at the top of his list. If you like what I like, you'll probably like what's at the top of my list. If you like what Eric likes, you probably like what's at the top of his list. If you like what Barrett likes, you'll probably like what's at the top of his list until you get to Fantasy Island.
One thing of note too is, like, for example, Chrissy had watched La Llorona, and she obviously told you, Mike, that she really loved it. And had she joined us, it would have been on her list. But she never really pumped it up, like, "Oh, you must see this," or "Oh, we should do an episode," you know, push an episode. And so, when a lot of the films that we do either pop up and one of us recommends as an episode, and then we do it, and so La Llorona, if it is a great film, it just never was something that was pushed by Chrissy to have us do an episode on.
Chrissy's had kind of a busy year. Chrissy's had a busy year. She's missed a lot of episodes.
And also it could be that's true, but it also could be it's still and it's just another there was like four of these La Llorona films coming out. And people just ignored it because it's just,
Well, and also, let's not, like, just because we haven't done an episode on something yet, let's not, like, dedicate ourselves to never doing an episode on it.
I kind of remember our number one film of about 4 or 5 years ago being a movie that, like, was clearly the number one film of the year, and we didn't review for, like, two more years, and that was Train to Busan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, actually, I still think the Autopsy of Jane Doe was better that year. But you're right.
It was our film of the year, our collective film of the year.
We just never got to it for some reason.
Right.
Yeah. But this year, we can say that every film on our top 10 list, cumulative, we did an episode on.
But ooh, I'll also say this.
Yeah,
that is true. Wow.
I will say this, like, if you look at my list, a lot of movies high up in early part of the year, like The Hunt and Invisible Man and Colorado Space, which I saw in theaters, and a lot of films late in the year, as I was kind of catching up, not a lot in the middle, and it very could well be that my mental state in April and May and June and July was very much affecting how I received some of those films, right? And maybe, and how well they stuck or didn't stick with me, because most of 2020 is a blur to me at this point. Yeah.
It's been different, that's sure. Sure.
As Pruitt Taylor Vince said on Facebook, because we're Facebook friends through Scares of Care, I think he said sometime at some point it's March 236th. You know, it's just we're never out of, we're still in that, we're still in March, you know, we're just, time is just blending together. Everything feels weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the best list of some of our Facebook contributors, listeners, and whatnot that sent some stuff in. And it's always good to hear from folks who listen to the podcast and their thoughts of 2020. So I have a few here. So the first one is from Amy Rain. Amy Rain is a podcaster on the Dark Discussions Network. She does the podcast Fishnets and Phantoms, which is an eclectic podcast that does some poetry, does some reviews, does some genre news and science news and stuff. It's one of my favorite podcasts on the network. Unfortunately, it is not as prolific as I would hope. Originally, it was supposed to be twice a month, but she has been slacking. She did join us for the Wonder Woman 1984 Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews episode 14 podcast, so that was good to have her join us there. So her top 20 list, starting with number one, best film of the year, as I already just mentioned, La Llorona, the Guatemalan film, is a beautiful, slow, haunting story of political corruption versus spirits of vengeance. Number two is Mike's favorite film of the year, Color Out of Space, H.P. Lovecraft adaptation. Color Out of Space is, to me, the best Lovecraft adaptation I have ever seen. The movie is benefited by the casting of Nicolas Cage. Cage's scenery chewing actually is somewhat subdued and yet is perfect for the general theme of insanity in Lovecraft's writing.
Well, there's a word you don't hear with associated with Nick Cage very often.
Well, he does have an Oscar, so he can say that. Number three, Underwater. Oh, and Eric would agree he deserved that Oscar for the film.
For Leaving Las Vegas? Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Number three, Underwater. Underwater is pretty much nonstop anxiety and also has a somewhat Lovecraftian villain, Monster Big Baddie. Some beautiful camera work as well. Number four, another Lovecraftian madness. The Beach House continues the theme of Lovecraftian madness and hallucinogenic imagery. It's a low-budget film, but a good film. Number five, Phil's top film of the year, or horror film of the year, The Lodge, is a bit hard to watch because of its themes of gaslighting and genuine abuse and madness. I love that word, gaslighting. Also, who the eventual villains are, its claustrophobic film of mind games and revenge. Number six, You Should Have Left. Kevin Bacon seems to like clever horror tales that set up the puzzle and then takes the viewer through it. And a nod to Amanda Seyfried. Number seven, the big box office film of the year, The Wretched. Family drama meets double gangers and tree witches take on an annoying teen. Annoying teen, interesting. Number eight.
Most teens are, to be fair.
That is fair. The coming of age film is, I would have preferred rather than saying annoying, but yes, that's fair. Number eight, the horror comedy Vampires versus the Bronx. In a way, this is my favorite movie on this list, maybe because it was 2020 and I'm a Twitch fest of paranoia and dread. This rather light offering about even whiter than usual gentrification in the Bronx made me happy. Number nine, The Invisible Man. Elizabeth Moss excels at being menaced and nearly defeated, but finding a way to ultimately triumph, we think. Number 10, the Netflix film His House. A Sudanese couple with a refugee lottery to settle in the slums of England. However, their new domestic life is not only challenged by racism and poverty, but with an unsettling third roommate. And that's her list. And she also has an article on the Dark Discussions website, so www.darkdiscussions.com, and search for – actually, it's on the front page, Top 10 Horror Films of 2020, Amy Rain. So you can go and check that out. All right, now we have a ginger from Canada, Sean Fox. Hello to all the gang of Dark Discussions Podcast Empire. We made it to 2021.
Empire now?
Yes, we're an empire now. That's pretty impressive. We made it to 2021, or this is just December 40th something 2020, the way it started. I would concur with that statement exactly. Since all the pandemic fun of 2020, my theater going was highly curtailed, but I still have my list favorite series and my one 2020 movie that I really enjoyed, and that kept me going. Here they are. The movie was Tenet, which was another classic from Christopher Nolan. Loved the beautiful cinematography and excellent cast. Kenneth Branagh was fantastic, as was John David Washington and Mr. Pattinson, in prep for his Batman role to come. And for my series, The Mandalorian Season 2, hands down the best Star Wars since the original trilogy. The Boys Season 2, such an excellent cast, and the season amped up the danger. Loved the use of Billy Joel's songs too. Season 4 of Fargo, Chris Rock and Jason Schwartzman killed it. Fargo, again, shows why every season is so engaging. Season 4, The Good Place, just a fun and nice way to escape the seeming mess of our reality. Season 1 of Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, an interesting take on Santa Muerte and visually stunning. Season 2 of His Dark Materials continues the story and adds some nice twists along the way. I enjoy the heart of the story and the characters as they evolve. Season 1 of Picard, Star Trek. It is one of the best uses of nostalgia and seeing familiar faces returning other than The Mandalorian. Season 3 of Star Trek The Discovery. I was a little unsure about the first two seasons with pacing issues, but season 3 was absolutely fantastic. The HBO series The New Pope, Jude Law and John Malkovich showed their acting chops with a great story to match. And the last but not least, because this list is not 1 to 10, it's just a list, and that is Ozark Season 3, another great season of one of the most outstanding TV shows on television. I want to thank all of you who make Dark Discussions the amazing show and group it is. Thank you to Phil, Eric, Mike, Christy, and Abe, and the rest for all the work that you do to provide the enjoyment and entertainment we have every week and every show. I hope that you, your loved ones, and all your listeners have a happier, healthier year coming with much goodness and success. May the Empire continue to grow, and the amazing friendships along the way.
Yeah, I just want everyone to know that Ozark wasn't actually on his list. Phil just put it there.
I did not. But it should be. I should default it on everybody's list, absolutely.
Oh, Lord.
Best show ever. Sean from St. Alberta, Canada. All right, here's another good guy here. This is Don Anelli, podcaster extraordinaire, but also a blogger who writes reviews weekly. And he's also one of the biggest promoters of everybody's podcast, including Dark Discussions. Don is a great guy. So here's what I got so far. It may change significantly later on with my official list on the Graveyard Shit podcast countdown, but I'm fine with this. The Graveyard Shit podcast is part of the Dark Discussions Network. It was originally called the Bay of Blood podcast, but they renamed it. Don't ask me why. And Don and Ellie is a co-host on that show. And this is his top 10 genre films of the year, from 10 to 1. Number 10, His House, the film that about the Sudanese people that Amy mentioned. Number 9, Relic. It's getting huge reviews and making a lot of top 10 lists, but we've skipped it because Eric said it was didn't work for him, and he didn't really recommend it.
No, don't put this on me. You're welcome to watch any movie you choose.
No, that's not what I mean. No, I'm talking about why it's not an episode, not we didn't watch.
All right.
Yes. Number 8, To Your Last Death. I'm not familiar with that one. Number 7, Ghost Killers versus Bloody Mary. I've heard it. Oh, that one actually, I think an Argentinian film. Yeah, that came out in the Q1, and Jason Lloyd and a bunch of other people really hyped it up, said it was pretty good horror comedy. And I think it was on our list as a potential. I had it on our list, but I never brought the name up because it sounded silly. Number six, The Dark and the Wicked. Number five, Anything for Jackson. Number four, a film I haven't heard of, The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw.
Huh.
Yeah, that's an interesting title. Number three, this one I recommended a couple of times, but Eric nixed it. You did nix this one.
Stop blaming everything on me.
I suggested it. You said I could, we're going to skip it. And this is Porno, the film from Fant.
Just because I don't want to do an episode doesn't mean the rest of you can't do it without me.
That's a fair point.
Have you seen the movie, Eric?
No.
It's supposed to be a dark comedy. So
I think I might have an in on that episode, on that movie, by the way.
Porno?
My old college roommate, I think, knows the guy who wrote it.
Is it Pano or Porno?
Porno. Porno with a P. Yeah.
Well, it's Pano because I'm Boston. But as Mike said, it's the correct pronunciation. Number two. Oh, yeah. Actually, when I got that film delivered, and my wife opened up the package because this was during the COVID time everything had to be cleaned. And she looked at me and just rolled her eyes.
She's been desensitized by now.
Yeah, I got enough crazy horror films that, yeah, she's like, whatever. Number two, VFW. Number one, and Mike mentioned this film in passing once, Blood Quantum.
Mm.
I think that's the science fiction film, right? That was a three-parter?
No, that was the Zombies on the Indian Reservation film.
Is Blood Quantum?
Yes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And no... My top 10 non-genre, as I didn't see enough for that list. So instead, here's my bottom 10 genre films of the year. So the first to the first. So the number 10, the Macy Williams English horror film, The Owners, which was okay. I saw it. But yeah, I could see people not liking it. Number 9, The Lurker. Not familiar with that one.
I didn't see that one either.
And number 8. The Rental. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, that's surprising. Number 7.
Well, not surprising to me.
Yeah, I know you didn't like it. Number 7. It was great because everybody died. Number 7, The Dead Ones.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we didn't. Number 7, The Dead Ones. I haven't heard of that one. Number 6, The Grudge. I think Mike saw that one, didn't
The Grudge remake. I did not.
Was that 2020?
Yes.
Shit. Yeah, that was awful.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch it then.
I'm glad I didn't. Number 5. Oh, and this one I heard a lot of bad things about, too. Books of Blood. I think that was like everybody was excited because, oh, wow, it's Clive. You know, and then when everybody saw it, it was, they screwed that up. Number 4. And I have to disagree with this because this is great cheese. Aqua Slash. Any Jason Lloyd would back me up on that. Number 3, Human Zoo.
What?
Everyone heard of that.
No.
Number 2, The Night They Knocked.
Cool name.
But
yeah. That is a cool name. Never heard of it, though.
Yeah, never heard of it. And number 1, and this is a director I got Anthony Thurber to interview, and he said it was a decent movie, but... Don, I read his review on it, and yeah, he destroyed it. Number 1 is the film Chop Chop.
So also have not heard of it.
Yeah, that was we got the screener for that one, but we never checked it out. So hope you all stay safe and take care of yourselves in the new year. A weekly dose of Dark Discussions podcast is always welcome in these times. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
All right, Brian Tutulo. I think he's a podcaster too, right, Mike?
I believe so.
Yes. Here he is. He goes, top picks of 2020. Number 5, The Hunt. Number 4, The Lodge. Number 3, His House. Number 2, Possessor. And number 1, The Color Out of Space. Honorable mention, Fat Man. Not a horror film, but still entertaining as hell. Eric, you would love Fat Man. It's a freaking great movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
What's that actor?
Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah, Mel Gibson and Goggins, dude. Goggins is so awesome.
Great.
Oh, is Goggins. Will Goggins in that movie? I didn't know that.
I still gotta see that.
That rockets it up the recommended list.
Dude, that is worth an episode. It's so good, dude. And Goggins,
we should keep that on our list then, if it's that good.
Yes, it's awesome. You'll love it, Eric. Goggins ruled. And Barrett, you're on with this with me. Yep.
I'm on board with Goggins. I'm a fan.
Yes. Oh my God, he's awesome, dude.
I think I told you the day I watched it, I was like, this film is great.
You know where else you can see Walton Goggins, Phil?
Yes, The Shield.
The Shield.
Yeah, right. That's right. But yeah, that
you also see him in Sons of Anarchy.
And The Shield.
And Justified. And all of those things are highly recommended.
House of a Thousand.
He was also in Predators. Predators.
That's not necessarily so highly recommended.
That was a pretty good film. I liked it.
I think I blocked it out.
I thought it was pretty good. Fat Man, Goggins rules. Anyway, let's continue. Thank you, Ryan, for that list. He's the host of All You Need Is Blood podcast. So there you go.
All You Need Is Blood. I like that. That's a good name.
It is. All right. Chris Chonsek. And Chris Chonsek's a member of the Dark Discussions podcast Facebook group. He's an active member. And he wished me condolences about my father's passing. So thank you, Chris. And this is what he has. He says, the top horror films of 2020. Number 20, Impetigore. Never heard of this. The first movie of several that were Shudder originals. Another good Asian horror story centered around a curse. Number 19, Come Play. I think, Mike, you mentioned this one. Wasn't expecting much from this, but was mildly surprised, especially with the creature effects. Number 18, Underwater. I'm a sucker for underwater sci-fi horror. Even people who don't consider themselves as claustrophobic feel the tension of the closed and dark spaces in this movie. Creature was done surprisingly well, too. Number 17... Ooh, this is a good one. A Good Woman Is Hard to Find. The Northern Irish film, another surprising film that delivered. Shudder film. The acting by the main protagonist was solid. And that's true. Sarah Bulger from the horror film Emily that we did. Number 16, Relic. Very good movie, but heavy-handed in its metaphor, leaving little to interpretation or imagination. I wanted this to be ranked higher than it is. Number 15, The Cleansing Hour, another Shudder original. They really hit it out of the park this year. Unique storyline, done well. Number 14, Color Out of Space. I thought a little overrated, but cosmic horror is really not my bag, so the cinematography and look of the film is stunning, so I can appreciate the love for it.
Number 13, sorry.
Number 13, The Platform, the Spanish film from Spain. It was pretty good, but a little overrated in my opinion. Number 12, Sputnik, the Russian film. Surprisingly good story and effects, but had a few plot holes. Number 11, and I know Mike saw this one, Gretel and Hansel, a nice adaptation of the children's fairy tale. Number 10, His House. Netflix, a good ghost story revolving around refugees who escaped from their country only to be haunted by an evil presence. Number 9, Alone. Surprise film for me. Wasn't expecting much different than the usual cat and mouse thriller, but it is pretty horrific as it progressed. The acting from the main antagonist was top notch. You might recognize him from Ozark, Russ Langmore, season 1. Number 8, The Rental. I thought this was fun. The first act is more drama than anything, but it picks up in the next two acts, and I love the type of ending it delivered. Spoiler alert, not a happy one. Number 7. Possessor, another one that some might categorize as an action crime thriller, but not in my book. With this amount of body horror, the writer-director Brandon Cronenberg is certainly a chip off the old block. Number 6, Anything for Jackson, another Shudder original with a good plot, effects, and decent acting. Some complain about the ending, but it was just ambiguous enough to make it interesting. Number 5, the atmospheric film The Lodge, slow burn with a dose of gaslighting, or is it? Number 4, the Shudder film, found footage film Host. Shudder original centered around a seance and a Zoom call that was done to perfection. Love this one. Number 3, Hunter. Some would say this is more mystery crime thriller, but it's deep horror to me. So well done. Eric mentioned that film. Number two is The Invisible Man, best mainstream horror film in a long time. Elizabeth Moss's Gold. And number one, Eric's and well, not or not necessarily not Eric's, but Abe's best film of the year, The Dark and the Wicked. Slow burn, creepy, and heavy dread, my favorite subgenre. The story and acting were phenomenal, making it my number one easily for 2020.
Yay!
Honorable, yeah, there you go. He agrees with you. Now, honorable mentions, 1BR, Lingering, I'm familiar with that one, The Beach House, The Deeper You Dig, and Sea Fever. All right, we have the list.
I was actually surprised to see how often Sea Fever popped up on lists.
Yeah, yeah, it was really good, and but it was derivative, and I loved it when I first watched it, but then as we got closer to doing the episode, I was going, oh, it was all right. It was good. I liked it, but it wasn't as awesome as I thought it was. But yeah, people are liking it. It was well done. Gotta like Connie Nielsen. Now this one's from Chris Genro, Canadian over the border, fellow Portuguese-American. Well, he's not Portuguese-American. He's a Canadian, Portuguese-Canadian. And he's, I think he's 100%. I'm only half. All right. He says, I didn't watch a ton of 2020 horror films as I usually do, but from what I saw, I would recommend these from number one to number 10. The best film of the year is His House from Netflix. Number two, VFW. Number three, Tread. And I think
that's actually a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yes, it is excellent. Number four. Oh, this is a good one. Rent-A-Pal. I would concur on that. That's a great film. Number five, The Rental. Another great film. Number six, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. I never heard of that one.
I watched it. I disagree, but teaches
fair enough. Fair enough. Where did you see that, Eric?
I think it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Number seven, and this is a good film. I know you liked it, Eric. Unhinged with Russell Crowe. Number eight. Open 24 Hours. We all like that. Number nine, Triggered. I'm not familiar with that one. And number 10, The Hunt. Honorable mention goes to the awesome feature-length Friday the 13th fan film entitled Voorhees.
You know, I've seen a couple of Friday the 13th fan films kicking around. I haven't taken the time to watch any of them. I should. I've heard good things.
Yeah, same here, same here. Okay, now this is from David Garrett, a columnist of Dark Discussions website. He actually has his top 10 column up right now. You just go to the darkdiscussions.com website. However, this list is a little different because in that list he took two off because he saw them at festivals in 2019 and put them on his 2019 list. But for this episode here, he added them back. And this is his top 10.
Jason Lloyd.
He did, yes. But in this list, he didn't. The list on the website.
So this list is the right list.
This is the right list.
Okay, gotcha.
Number 10, Relic. Number 9, BFW. Number 8, The Invisible Man. Number 7, The Golden Glove, which is an Indian film, I believe. I heard good things about it. Number 6, The Mortuary Collection. Number 5, a film recommended by Eric. Don't Listen on Netflix. Number 4, Anything for Jackson. Number 3, Possessor. Number 2, The Dark and the Wicked. And number 1, best film of 2020, The Lodge. Thank you for everything that you guys do. Looking forward to another year of amazing content. David Garrett Jr. from Michigan.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. By the way, Phil, one of my favorite moments of this year is the week I watched Don't Listen and was talking about it. You kept asking me repeatedly what the title of the movie was. So I was like, don't listen. And you're like, wait, what was that movie called? Like, don't listen. You're like, okay. And then like 5 minutes later, you're like, wait, what's the name of that movie we're talking about? I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I didn't mean actually don't listen. That's just the title of the movie.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I know you talked about, a lot of people talk about it. I just never got to the film because most of the films I saw were episodes. I never really got to watch much this year. I was just busy as hell. And I had some issues like Mike did with video games.
Yeah.
Number, oh, the last person that sent us a list in, and this is our good friend and contributor, Kevin Letts. And he said,
I've been listening to this guy for 45 years.
Indeed, he does. He says his top three horror films, or just genre films of the year. Number one, Color Out of Space. Number two,
Smart Man.
Number two, A Good Woman is Hard to Find. That's a great film. Number three, The Cleansing Hour. Best TV shows. Number one, To the Lake, Russian language film, show on Netflix. Number two, A Discovery of Witches. And number three, the HBO original series, The Undoing. And worst of all, the entire year, no matter what genre, TV or film, Lovecraft Country. I would concur with that last statement. Yes. Yes. All right. So thank you for all our contributors for getting in their lists. I appreciate it. A lot of people are new. Some of the other people that we've had before that sent in lists are now actually doing their own podcast and just doing the lists on their own podcast. So that's why we got different people this year. But it's always good to get them in. And thank you. And anybody who wants to hear other people's lists, yep, it's a lot of list right now, a lot of podcasts on the Dark Discussion Network that are doing shows. So, Eric, what are we doing now with this second of three lists we're doing tonight?
I believe we're doing categories, yes?
Well, we got Specular Fiction, too.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
This is going to be a weird one, folks, so hold on to your hats.
Yes.
Like, there's not a whole lot of repeated movies on these lists between all of us.
Yeah, so our cumulative list is shit because there's no overlap.
Now, one thing that's of note is Abe deferred. He said he didn't see enough speculative fiction films to really make a list. Well, so he deferred.
I don't blame him because I had to scramble to get 10 together.
Yeah.
So, with that stated, I do know Abe did like a number of speculative fiction films such as Love and Monsters and such, and Swallow. So, Abe did have some good films. It's just that he didn't have enough, he felt, to make a list. So, just a heads up there.
It sounds like it was going to be chaos anyways with how different everything sounds.
Sure. All right, so let's start with alphabetical order. B for Barrett. 9-1. Barrett had 9 instead of 10.
Yeah, I probably, there were some others that I thought of afterwards, but it doesn't really matter because I don't think there was anything like.
Feel free to throw one in the 10 if you want.
So number 9, The Platform. Number 8, Skylines. Number 7, Ava. Number 6, Little Joe. Ava. Number 5, Wonder Woman 1984. Number 4, Tenet. Number 3, Army of One. Number 2, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. And number 1, A Good Woman is Hard to Find.
All right, sounds good. E for Eric.
All right, number 10 is The Platform. Number 9, Archive. Number 8, Black Box. Number 7, Volition. Number 6, Unhinged. Number 5, The Old Guard. Number 4, Palm Springs. Number 3, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Number 2, Greyhound. And number 1, Promising Young Woman. So Barrett couldn't find A Good Woman, and I found A Promising Young Woman.
That wasn't considered a genre, a horror film?
Promising Young Woman, I consider it more of a drama. You could go either way, I guess.
Yeah, you go either
way. I put it on my speculative because I had enough for horror and I didn't have enough for speculative.
Right. Now I want to see it, but it's at theaters and then now it's on VOD, but it's one of those $25 rentals. So
I want to point out again that the both of you bitched and complained about the $20 rentals at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
I said I support them in doing it because it's whatever they can do to make a buck with theaters closed. but I wasn't going to do it. I never paid the $20. Both of you did.
No, I didn't.
No, we didn't.
Theater,
no,
asshole. Yeah. Don't make assumptions.
We never spent $20. Yeah, we didn't do that.
Yes, you did. You both told me you spent $20 for renting films.
No, we didn't.
Not this film.
Not this film, but for other films.
Shut the fuck up.
I did not rent one film for
Tonight at Crossfire
for over $7 this year.
I don't think that's Scooby-Doo. Didn't you do
no,
Scooby-Doo? Oh, you bought that. I
bought
there was one that you did.
Nope. Nope. I bought Scooby-Doo, and I bought Trolls for my kids. And they watched it like 40 times each.
Okay.
But I did not rent any films over $20.
Okay, so it was just the one that was bitched about the rental price that did it then. Okay.
Yeah, we me and
Eric... You'll let that go someday when you're not feeling like an asshole.
But I was tempted to do the Kevin Bacon film because of Amanda Seyfried. I wanted to see Amanda Seyfried, but I said nope, not doing it.
If you like her so much, you'd probably learn how to pronounce her name.
Seyfried.
There's no G in her name.
Yeah, you're right.
Seyfried. Yeah.
Seyfried. Something. Yeah. Yeah, so we did not, Mike. Yeah, we weren't going to do that. All right, and now we're to M for Mike.
All right, top 20 other genre list. It was really thin. Was Tenet? Number 9 was Let Him Go. 10. Okay, number 8 was Onward, the Disney cartoon. Number 7 was Bill and Ted Face the Music. Number 5 was Vivarium. Number 4 was Love and Monsters. Number 3 was Come to Daddy. Number 2 was Swallow. And number 1 is Soul.
Okay. So, yeah. So, and you had the platform there as well. I'm actually surprised with one of the things because we'll discuss when we go over each list. But very good. Thank you, Mike. All right. So, P for Philip. So, number 10, Christie's worst film of the year, The Platform. Number 9, Swallow. Number 8, Dark Encounter. Number 7, Amazon Prime film Kill Bird. Number 6, Unhinged. Number 5, Sky Man. Number 4, Little Joe. Number 3, Wonder Woman 1984. Number 2, Love and Monsters. And number 1, A Good Woman is Hard to Find.
No, she's not. I found a promising young woman.
Well done. So we have a cumulative list here, and starting with number 20.
So number 20 is Ava. Number 19 is Vivarium. Number 18 is The Old Guard. Number 17 is Skyman. Number 16 is Palm Springs.
Skyman.
That's what I said. Number 15 is Tenet. Oh, I didn't know I broke up. Number 14 is The Platform. Number 13 is Come to Daddy. Number 12 is Army of One. Number 11 is Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, or whatever the hell the full name of that movie is. Number 10 is Greyhound. Number 9 is Unhinged. Number 8 is Soul. Number 7 is Promising Young Woman. Number 6 is Swallow. Number 5 is Little Joe. Number 4 is Bill and Ted Face the Music. Number 3 is Wonder Woman 1984. Number 2 is Love and Monsters. And number 1 is A Good Woman is Hard to Find.
All right, sounds good. So we can go. We'll start with you, Mike. Your top 10 list, not the cumulative. Your top 10 list. Any films you wanted to mention that weren't episodes that are of note that you would want to give some feedback on details?
Come to Daddy with Elijah Wood. I've seen this on Horror List. Felt more. Oh, I don't know. I really don't know how to. Not really crime thriller, but I guess more of a wacky thriller. Certainly recommend watching it. And then Soul was just a really nice Pixar Disney film. I would certainly recommend that.
Now, Mike, I have a quick question for you on your list here. My quick question is, I remember when we did the episode for Swallow, you had some issues with the ending, so I'm kind of surprised that you had it this high up as number two.
Well, it's mostly because of the rest of the... I don't know. I just liked a lot of it. Thin differences between a lot of it. It was not the deepest list that I had. Most of my favorite films this year kind of come off the horror list. And so, yeah, I know there's a lot I like about Swallow in the first place. And yes, I was not happy with the thrilled. I did like the craftsmanship of the film.
Fair enough. All right. Sounds good. All right. So we'll go to P for Philip and then head back to Barrett and Eric. All right. Kilbert. Kilbert is a spy type thriller, low budget film on Amazon Prime. It is a film I saw at the end of the year with my wife. She liked the trailer, so we took a shot at it, and she kind of liked the first half, but then wasn't a big fan of the second half. But I kind of liked it a lot. And IMDb for it is, when a young woman's car breaks down in backcountry Oregon, she finds herself at the mercy of a paranoid conspiracy theorist who assumes she's a government agent. That was pretty entertaining film and has a lot of twists. And it's a quick hour and a half. I won't bring up Unhinged. I'll let you do that, Eric, because I'm sure you'll have good things to say about it. And the only other film is A Good Woman Is Hard to Find, a Northern Irish film. I have it as my number one film of the year. Had we put it on our horror list, because we almost did, it would have been my best horror film of the year, above The Lodge. It is my best genre film of the year. I love this film. The ending was absolutely phenomenal. High recommend. Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews did a episode on it, episode 13, where myself, Kevin Letts, and Barrett discussed it, and we all gave it huge thumbs up. The synopsis on IMDb is, a recently widowed young mother will go to any lengths to protect her children as she seeks the truth behind her husband's murder. So that's my list. Any questions for my list? Anybody? Anyone? All right, very good. Barrett, your nine films. You want to mention some of the films that are new to the films we've discussed tonight?
I'll reiterate what you said about A Good Woman Is Hard to Find. That was a really, really good film. It would probably be number two if it was on horror for me. Still like The Invisible Man a little bit better. Army of One was a fun film. I really liked that one. Let's see. Tenet. I got to agree with the sound on Tenet. It was a little hard. The movie itself is hard to understand. just because it's a pretty major time travel thing going on in it. But the sound made it harder to understand. They have the music louder than the voices at times, and you can't tell what's going on. I wish it didn't do that, because it's already... You already suffer with trying to understand what they're doing with time travel. And then Skylines is just the third part of the Skyline trilogy. It's an okay film. I wouldn't, you know, pay to rent it. I'd wait to see when it becomes free.
What's Ava?
And Ava is a spy thriller. It's got Jessica Chastain in it. It's a pretty good film.
I saw that movie and I was actually really disappointed in it, considering the talent involved. Considering all the big name actors that are in that movie, it should be better.
You do have a point. Considering the amount of, yeah, there are some pretty big name actors in it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. My list was so short, I was trying to find things to put on here, and the platform and Skylines were definitely worse for me than Ava. So Ava was in there a little higher than those, but yeah, you're definitely right. It could have done better with what it had.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Army of One. I actually had that on my top 10 early. But then when Swallow and The Platform were moved off of, and A Good Woman Is Hard to Find, and Little Joe were all moved off of the horror list and thrown into the speculative fiction list, those four films pushed Army of One off my top 10 list. But I agree, that was a pretty good film, and I had it originally on my top 10 list. A thriller in the backwoods of Louisiana.
No, it's interesting. Woman, the actress from Little Joe, I just saw her in a movie that came out this year that's on Netflix, Outside the Wire. She plays a very different role in that.
Well, that's good.
Is that a genre film?
We'll play more than one role.
Dude. Is that a genre film?
Yeah, I would say it's a genre film. Kind of sci-fi.
Very good. Okay. It didn't make you a top 10, though, right? It was good, but not a top 10 film.
It came out this year, so it might be
one. Oh, it's a 2021 film.
Yeah, it just came out.
Oh. Is it worth an episode, do you think?
I'm not sure. You should see it to figure that out. I don't want to recommend it.
Very good. All right, Eric, what do you got for your list? Some of the films that we've never discussed.
Well, actually, most of mine... we haven't discussed. Let's see. Unhinged, Russell Crowe thriller. He plays a bad guy and he does a really good job as a psycho. Volition is a sci-fi movie. It's a time travel thing done not quite like I've seen it done before, so that was interesting to me. Black Box is kind of a sci-fi thriller that I enjoyed. It's one of the new Blumhouse films on Amazon. The Old Guard, Charlize Theron. It's on Netflix.
Forgot about that one.
Yeah. Palm Springs is mostly a comedy, but I put it on the speculative fiction list because it involves a Groundhog Day type scenario. And they end up figuring out with science. So I'll call it science fiction for the purposes of this.
Blimey, it's with science.
Same thing with Bill and Ted Face the Music. Mainly a comedy, but it involves time travel, so I threw it on here. Greyhound is on Apple TV Plus. It's Tom Hanks versus Nazis. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. And then Promising Young Woman was my favorite 2020 movie. It was really interesting to me. I thought Carey Mulligan had a fantastic lead performance here. There are also some really strong performances from Bo Burnham and Alison Brie. And it surprised me a little bit because you think you know what this movie is going into it, and it starts to go there, but then you figure out it's not really that, and then it takes a twist, and then it takes a turn, and then it kind of loops back around. And it just goes – it doesn't go the way I thought it was going to initially, and the whole thing is very impactful and entertaining. So I enjoyed Promising Young Woman a whole lot and hope some of y'all can watch it once the rental price drops down.
Can you give a little more background?
Very good. And
a little more background on what?
Oh, like the IMT.
Let's see if it spoils anything.
Oh, Volition.
Here Volition. We go. A young woman traumatized by a tragic event in her past seeks out vengeance against those who crossed her path.
Hmm.
And that sounds pretty straightforward, Volition. But the movie is not very straightforward.
Okay.
And also, Barrett asked about Volition, too.
Volition.
Yeah, Volition. Yeah.
That's a sci-fi travel movie. Time travel movie. And you pretty much stick with your main character who's jumping through time for reasons. But the method of time travel is not something I've seen in any other film. So I found that interesting.
Okay, that's
right. So it's a man afflicted with clairvoyance tries to change his fate when a series of events leads to a vision of his own imminent murder. Sounds interesting.
I thought it was, yes.
Does it deal with time travel well? That's where I have a hard time with time travel movies.
Well, and that's the whole thing. That summary he just read mentions clairvoyance,
mm-hmm.
and it's not really clairvoyance because he's kind of seen it before because of the time travel. It's pretty interesting.
Okay, cool. I'll check that one out.
Yeah, I may check that one out. Yeah. Yeah, what is it, a rental, or is it one of the free ones?
It was a rental for me, yeah.
Okay, sounds cool.
Yeah, it does sound cool. Would you consider that an episode, Eric? Is that interesting? A lot of talk about it,
maybe. I would talk about it.
All right, sounds good.
I want to watch it again, though, because I hazy on the details already. I crammed a lot of movies in the last month.
Oh, it was earlier. When did you see it?
I saw it like during the period of time when I watched like 25 movies trying to cram everything in for these lists.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. All right. Sounds good. All right. So with that stated, the cumulative list, we already read some big names on it, like Love and Monsters, Wonder Woman 1984, Bill and Ted's Face the Music, as well. Oh, and Harley Quinn, as well as Soul. And then there's some thrillers like Unhinged, A Good Woman is Hard to Find, science fiction stuff like Little Joe, and Nazis fighting, being killed by Tom Hanks, called Greyhound. So a pretty good eclectic list of stuff. Comedy too, as well as sci-fi with Bill and Ted's Face the Music. So yeah, all right, there you go. And these lists will also be on the darkdiscussions.com website as an article/column. So go check that out if you want a printout list. All right, I guess we can get into the third part, and that's the question stuff, right? The favorite, yes. This, the worst, that
categories, right, and stuff. Good. Yeah.
All right, so we'll go in alphabetical order. So first question is favorite overall film, and that's generally genre film, but it can be anything, I guess. We'll start with you, Abe. A for Abe.
For me, I think my favorite overall film of 2020 was Love and Monsters.
It's a good film. We did an episode on it. People should check it out.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Episode 469. Check that out. Oh, no, actually, episode 470. Yeah.
Wow. We're getting to 500 quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Good Lord. All right, sounds good. Mike.
Oh, favorite overall?
Actually, I screwed up. Yeah, M is not before B or E. So B for Barrett.
Phil's still learning his ABCs.
My favorite overall film was The Invisible Man.
All right, that's a good one. Mr. Juan L, he rules. Upgrade was even better, in my opinion. But both of them, he's damn good. We go with E for Eric.
My best overall film was Promising Young Woman. I just spoke about it, so I don't need to pound that anymore.
Yep. Very good. M for Mike.
I'll go Color Outer Space.
Yep, you've been pumping that film from the beginning. That's a good one.
Yes, I have. Well, and there wasn't a whole lot to compete against it.
Fair enough. All right, and for P for Philip, favorite overall film of the year? A Good Woman is Hard to Find. Excellent Northern Irish film. I've already talked about it just a little while ago, as Eric did, about A Promising Young Woman, and I won't say no more. All right, now favorite horror film of the year, and we'll start with A for Abe.
Well, I guess it's obviously going to be my number one for my list, The Dark and the Wicked.
All right, sounds good. B for Bert.
I put Anything for Jackson, and it'll make sense when we get to the next category.
Fair enough. Yes. For folks who don't know, and this Mike made this kind of semi-official, is that we try not to repeat on a lot of our choices. So that's why it may be a little different than some of the prior lists. E for Eric.
It's still The Invisible Man.
All right, sounds good. And M for Mike.
Yeah, and since, even though I made the rule for myself, it wasn't so for anyone else, I'm going to violate it this year simply because almost all my favorite films do end up in the horror category. And as a result, I would end up like with my seventh favorite horror film as my favorite horror film if I didn't do that. So it will still be Color Out of Space.
Fair enough. And P for Philip is my favorite horror film of the year, and I'll stick with, again, A Good Woman is Hard to Find would be there if we'd thrown it in, but since we didn't, I'll stick with my number one film on the list we talked about prior, The Lodge. All right, favorite sci-fi film of the year, starting with Abe.
Favorite sci-fi for me even though Sputnik was episode number 8, I think the one I had most fun with, I would say in terms of that category, would be The Color Out of Space.
All right, fair enough. That's a good one. B for Barrett.
I put The Invisible Man for sci-fi because I felt like that was a little closer to sci-fi, and anything for Jackson was closer to horror for me.
All right, makes sense. E for Eric.
I'll go with Volition, the clairvoyant time travel movie we were just discussing.
That makes me even more interested in seeing that film. M for Mike. Yeah, exactly. M for Mike.
Well, because it was inspired by the novel by one of the great science fiction greats, H.G. Wells, I'll go with The Invisible Man.
Yep, that's a good one. All right, and for me, P for Phil, I'm going with a little film that had grindhouse elements and a cool story recommended by Mike, and we interviewed the director and the lead actress, The Honeymoon Phase.
Nice.
Yep, another good choice.
All right, favorite action film. So that's with Abe.
For me, for in terms of action film, I would say that'd be VFW.
That's a great one. Yep, absolutely. All right, sounds good. B for Barrett.
VFW as well.
Yep, good choice. Good choice. E for Eric.
I'm going to go with Unhinged. Russell Crowe fucked some shit up. It was pretty cool.
That's a great one, too. That's a great one, too. I almost had VFW and Unhinged myself, but I chose a different one. Let's go with M for Mike.
Yeah, there weren't any pure action films that I really felt comfortable saying, giving an award to this year. So I'll go actually, this is very borderline, but I said The Hunt.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's action, I think. That was going to be my other choice.
Sure, that's fair.
The Hunt probably had my favorite action scene of the year, even though I think of it as a horror movie.
Yeah, and there's, like I said, this is a very horror-heavy year this year. I barely had 20 non-horror films, and the action films, I cannot bring myself to giving an award to.
Fair enough. No, makes sense. All right, and P for Philip, and this one may be a little controversial, but I had a blast with the film, even with its many flaws, and that's Wonder Woman 1984.
Wrong! Sorry.
All right. let's see.
My inner Lex Luthor came out.
Let's see. Favorite genre comedy. So let's start with you, Abe.
I think for me, even though it's kind of a mix of, like, it's like a dark comedy, but I would say We Summon the Darkness was, I thought that was a blast.
Indeed. Let's go with B for Barrett.
The Babysitter, Killer Queen.
All right, very good. E for Eric.
I went with Bill and Ted Face the Music. It made me laugh really hard.
Excellent. Mike.
And I just realized when I restarted my computer, I forgot to reopen my list. And I'm trying to remember what I put there.
Always one.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just go to version 4. Oh, no, that actually, there is no version 4.
That's not going to be there. I got to open my list.
Indeed. It's
a good thing that Mike knows how to use a computer to teach remotely.
All right, well, weirdly enough, so favorite genre comedy doesn't say favorite comedy film. So I'm going to do an end run, and I'm going to say the
cheater!
I'm going to do the end run and say What We Do on the Shadows.
Oh, I won't fight you too hard on that.
See?
Is that a TV show?
Yes.
That is a TV show.
And it's
2020? And it is indeed hilarious.
Is it 2020?
Yes.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough. Let's go with myself then, right? We already did Eric. Yep. So P for Philip, and that is the same as Abe. A Taylor Swift nod to We Summon the Darkness. I love
Darkness.
That film. It's awesome. Darkness. one of the best films of the year, in my opinion. I think I had it number 3 or 4 or something like that. All right, sounds good. So now we go to favorite comic book film. of the year. So it's
I wonder what
you,
Phil's is going to be.
I can imagine. Unfortunately for me, I didn't get to see anything in that category, so I have to jump right over to somebody else.
All right, so non-applicable for Abe. Let's go with B for Bert.
Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
All right, very well. Gonna like Margot Robbie. Let's go with E for Eric.
I also had Birds of Prey.
All right, and let's go with M for Mike.
Yeah, it's rough because the only three were Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, or Harley Quinn, or whatever they're calling it this week.
right. It's got like five different titles.
It's yeah, and New Mutants, and I think I'll go with Birds of Prey.
All right, fair enough. And P for Philip, we'll go for one of the best films of the year, Wonder Woman, 1984.
Great. Heretic.
All right. Our favorite remake in genre. Let's go with you, Abe.
I didn't see any remakes this year. And I avoided the garage like the plague.
Good choice.
Fair enough. All right. So non-applicable. That's fair, Abe. No problems. Let's go with B for Barrett.
The Invisible Man.
Yep. Let's go with E for Eric.
I guess The Invisible Man's a remake. Yeah. That's weird. I never thought of it like that, but it is. I went with The Call, the one I was talking about, the Korean remake of the American movie The Caller.
All right, sounds good. M for Michael.
Yeah, even though I didn't see it, I was going to say The Call because I really can't call Invisible Man a remake because it's the story is so wildly different from the original. I'm pretty sure The Call is better than The Grudge, so I'm going to go. And I don't know any other remakes that came out this year, so I'm going to go with The Call.
All right, so non-applicable. P for Philip. Yeah, absolutely. The Invisible Man, by far the best remake of the year. Let's go with our favorite zombie film to Abe.
Well, I didn't see Peninsula. I don't think I can really think of too many zombie films that came out that year.
Yeah, there were many.
Yeah, so I'll have to say non-applicable for that one, too, because that was very sparse that year for the undead.
Fair enough. B for Barrett.
Not applicable.
Yep, fair enough. E for Eric.
Not applicable.
All right. I know which one Mike's going to say, and probably the same one I'm going to say. M for Michael.
Yeah, it's got to be Hash Brown Alive.
Hash Brown.
All right. And for me, P for Philip, Pound Alive.
Right. Now, by the way, I would like to point out, as we mentioned with found footage, 5 years ago, people were saying there's too much found footage. People were saying there were too many zombie films.
Too many vampire films. Too many. Yeah.
Yeah. And where are they now? Everything comes in cycles. Everything comes and goes. I think there were three zombie films. I'm sure there were more zombie films out there than the ones I've seen. Peninsula, yep. This, and there was one other, and the Blood Quantum. I think are the only three I actually saw this year.
Oh, you saw that?
I looked more on Shudder.
Yeah, that Japanese film you recommended, and we were about to do an episode, and you said, "Yeah, it's not really horror, so we should skip it."
One Cut of the Dead. That was last year.
Oh, that was 2019. Okay.
And it's really not a zombie film, and I'm amazed that people like actually didn't get that point.
We still probably should have done an episode on it, but that's
We can still do an episode. Yeah, I mean, I would be fine with that.
All right, so Pound Alive, Hash Brown Alive. All right, so favorite vampire film, Abe.
Not applicable.
Fair enough. Barrett.
N.A.
Yep. Eric.
N.A.
Yep. Mike.
I saw two. One was Blood Vessel. And on Shudder, and the other is Vampires versus the Bronx, which is on Netflix, and the Netflix film Wins. I agree with Amy Schutz Rain on about that one. It is a fun little film. I'm very sorry I could not get in my top 20.
Fair enough. And for Phil, not applicable. All right. Favorite nature horror film, Abe.
All right. For nature horror film, I think I really am going to have to give this to Sea Fever.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say something else, and it'll be the one I'm going to say. But yeah, that's a good one. Sea Fever. All right. B for Barrett.
The Beach House.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, well done. E for Eric.
I also chose The Beach House.
Yeah, that's a good one. M for Michael.
Yeah, not a lot to pick from this year. I've tried for nature horror to actually deal with non-monstrous versions of things. And so I went with a little movie that wasn't that great. It was mildly amusing, but it was on Hulu, and it was called Good Boy, which is about a dog that eats people.
Well, fair enough. And I'm going to do a film that there's a good dog in it that doesn't eat people, and that is Love and Monsters. It's a nature horror film.
Okay. I'll give that one to you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. To Abe, best genre cheese.
Best genre cheese. I enjoyed it, but there were some stories and moments that were really on the cheesy side. The extra mozzarella. I'm going to say The Mortuary Collection.
All right, very well. B for Barrett.
I did not see a lot of cheesy movies, but I thought The Babysitter Killer Queen fit that bill.
Sure. E for Eric.
I went with Love and Monsters.
All right, yeah, that's a good one. M for Michael.
Yeah, so if you ever wondered what the connection is between werewolves and Santa Claus, check out the Creepshow holiday episode, Christmas episode on Shudder. That gets my cheese of the year.
For what TV show?
Creepshow.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough. So another Enron move there. And for P for Philip, I'm going to go with a great fun grindhouse type slasher horror film. Bikinis everywhere and cool kills, and that's Aqua Slash, the Canadian horror film that they pretend is in Pennsylvania. That makes it even more cheesy. There you go. All right, sounds good. So, favorite found footage film to Abe?
I only saw one, but I thought it was still pretty good, and that would be Body Cam.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. Yep. All right. B for Barrett.
I said Body Cam as well.
Yep, that's fair. Partly found footage. E for Eric.
I went with MOM, Mothers of Monsters.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a really good one, too. Yeah. Actually, yep. I switched it. That's actually way better.
All right.
Nope, no backpedaling. You voted?
He forgot. Give him some slack. M for Michael.
Host to host.
Okay. The one from Shudder, the 54-minute film. All right. And I'm going to go with the same one as Abe and Eric, which is MOM, Mother of Monsters. Which we actually interviewed the director for that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was. She was cool. And she's from Massachusetts, as a matter of fact. Best kill to Abe.
Best kill would be Bang Bang, Maxwell Silverhammer, and Hosts.
Indeed, that's a good one. Hosts with an S. Hosts. B for Barrett.
I actually have a tie. Anything for Jackson, the snowblower.
That's a good one.
The Invisible Man with the sister getting her throat cut.
Yeah, okay. That's good, too. Yeah. E for Eric.
Mine might be a little bit of a cheat, but I was trying not to pick something that wouldn't be repeated, and I'm going to go with Hunter Hunter, and I'm not going to say what it happens. Person's not actually dead yet, but they're going to be, so.
I'm going to go with Hunter Hunter. All right, sounds good. M for Michael.
Yeah, I really think the obvious answer is Abe's, which of course is the dinner time, Hammer's time.
Stop. So, hammer time.
Exactly. So let me then throw in my runner up. Actually, which would have been the snowblower. So my runner up, because there's ain't nothing like starting a movie off with a dead baby, and I'll go with the infanticide at the beginning of Wretched.
Oh yeah.
Indeed. Well done, Mike. Well done. Yeah, P for Philip, and I didn't write runner-ups, so I just have to do the obvious one, which Abe said, which was awesome, Hosts, with an S, Hosts. That was great. That was awesome. All right, deserved better. A genre film that deserved better than what it got, whether it was missed by people, whether it was a good film until a certain point, whatever you want to determine, you say it. Let's go with A for Abe.
I think Love and Monsters deserved better. I mean, it got good reviews and word of mouth, but I think it would have really shined if it had better chance in the theaters without the pandemic and all.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. B for Barrett. I would agree with that, Abe.
WW84 deserved way better. Especially right. $200 million.
Fair enough.
I don't think it deserved better. I think it got what it deserves.
It was a great film. E for Eric.
I'm going to go with The Hunt. The Hunt got screwed on a couple of different levels. The first Twice. Time it was supposed to be released, they pushed it back because it is a gun-heavy film. And it was originally supposed to be released right after one of the shootings. So they pushed it back. And then it became the topic of political debate for a while. And then finally, it was released in theaters the day before everything was shut down for the pandemic.
You're right. So it was really three times.
Yeah.
Seen it that too.
Yeah, I really think the Hunt deserved better.
Fair enough. M for Michael.
Yeah, actually, Abe took mine because Love and Monsters was supposed to be in theaters. It didn't make it into theaters because of things. And I'm really curious what would have happened if it had made it. But I also think that Eric really nails it also with The Hunt. That one also got screwed. But really, let's be honest. All of us deserved better.
Sure.
Everyone deserved
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
All right. So P for Philip. Mine is another film that got screwed because of the pandemic. It was supposed to be released at theaters in Q1 or Q2. So around March, April. And we did an episode on it, and myself and Chrissy liked it a whole lot. And that was the Kevin Bacon, Amanda Seyfried film. You Should Have Left. It was really suspenseful. It had some really cool elements. It got wishy-washy reviews generally, but if you love ghost stories and stuff like that, it was a solid pick. And because of the pandemic, it was forced to go straight to the
VOD. That movie got kind of crapped on, and it didn't make my top list, but it was better than I was expecting from what I'd heard, so I'd agree.
Yeah. It's pretty solid. All right, sounds good. Most disturbing genre film. Let's go with A for Abe.
I think – well, this is the main reason it made it to my very number one, Dark and the Wicked.
Yeah, by the way, the most disturbing was more most disturbing moment than most disturbing film, sort of like that scale.
Okay. I got
that's not how that. I
that's not how I went either, and I'm
just, okay. Well, then I think I can actually find a moment that came from that film, and that was the Finger Salad. Dark and the Wicked.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's go with B for Barrett.
I said The Lodge. Just the overall feeling of that film really bothered me.
Yeah. Oh, the poor dog getting frozen to death.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah.
There are a lot of really disturbing pieces in that movie, and it's just all over disturbing to me.
Indeed. All right. Sounds good. E for Eric.
I did not go with the most disturbing moment. I went with the most disturbing film, and for me, that was Possessor. Conceptually, that movie got under my skin a little bit. I found it disconcerting.
Yeah.
Right. M for Michael.
Yeah, I would have to go again. Well, going for a moment was the mother and child reunion in Love and Monsters, and not Love and Monsters, in Color Out of Space.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah. All right, very well. And P for Philip. I went for the one scene, which oddly would make the film most disturbing too, because of the one scene, which is her name was Krista. There's one scene near the end that is very disturbing due to behavioral health issues. And folks who've seen the film will know what that scene is. So yeah, that's the film I put down. Worst genre film of the year. I had a few of them, but and it's not the ones that that Abe, Mike, and Eric had. But Abe, what do you got?
Fuck me sideways. It's the Giants. I hate this movie so fucking much. It was just pain. This was just a miserable fucking experience. I'd rather just drink piss and blood at the same time.
Wow.
All right. Sounds good.
I want to see that on the DVD box.
All right. Beef and Barry.
All right, this is probably a film no one else here has seen. There was a movie on Netflix called Hard Kill. It had Jesse Metcalf and Bruce Willis in it. It was terrible. It was just a terrible movie.
I have learned better than to watch Bruce Willis direct-to-video movies.
Oh, man. Well, all his
movies are a good choice.
Well, he just doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't. This movie is terrible because Jesse Metcalf is the main actor, and he just couldn't pull off the lead.
Yeah, and the woman is, I think, a WWE or MMA fighter or something too. That gotcha. Leads it. But yeah, we DarkDiscussions.com actually has a release notice for that film a couple of times, I think.
Oh, watch yeah. it!
I heard it was pretty bad though. Yeah, that's a shame. Let's go with Eve Eric.
I also have the Giant. I don't know if I'd go as far as Abe did, but I certainly never want to watch it again and will never forgive Phil for forcing me to watch it.
Well,
curse you, Philip!
Yeah, but it is what it is. M for Michael.
Do we even need to ask? I mean, we were all there. We all recorded the episode.
Yep, that episode has been released.
It's a massive episode. It sort of overhangs everything. You might even say it's a giant episode. So, yes.
Okay, sounds good. Hey,
giant bottle of piss and blood.
Okay, sounds good. okay, sounds good. P for Philip. I actually had two films that I completely disliked this year, and that was The Deeper You Dig. I couldn't stand that film. And The Mortuary Collection, I did not like either. I'm not saying they're badly made, but I just hated those two films. Couldn't stand them at all. All right. That's right. Let's see here. Eric, you would know that because I annoyed you like hell about a digger.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I almost lost my friendship with Eric because of that.
I'm just like, shut up! Stop texting me! Shut up! Shut up!
Indeed. And I never did that again to Eric after that. But I was so miserable because of that. I had to talk to someone. But anyway.
Get a therapist.
I know. I needed it. I should have got the rent-a-pal. Anyway. Best genre ending or best ending in a genre film. So let's go with Abe.
I think for me, it would have to be the conclusion for MOM, Mother Monsters.
Hmm.
I thought that was a pretty impactful ending.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. B for Barrett.
I put Tenet because I was finally starting to understand what I had seen for the last 2 hours.
Hey, that's a good enough reason for saying best ending. E for Eric.
I'm going to go with Hunter Hunter, and it might be related to the category I selected for earlier.
That, you're making me want to check this film out now, too, Eric. Yeah. And that would be a film you would talk about, I'm sure.
Oh, sure. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Fair enough. M for Michael.
Yeah, I was having a hard time coming up with one. I think I might just go with The Cleansing Hour.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there were no like films where the ending like really like gut punched me this year. So I think that would be the closest I would have to it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. P for Philip. Well, I had three runner ups, and that was The Lodge, for obvious reasons. The Rental, for obvious reasons. And The Room, for obvious reasons. But the best ending of the year was A Good Woman Is Hard to Find.
That was my runner-up.
That was an awesome ending. Fantastic. All right. So worst ending of the year in a genre film. Let's go with you, Abe.
I know we talked about it, but I'm just going to say The Giants. Even if this film, I'm going to avoid spoilers, but it is one of the most major cardinal sins of a storytelling ever. And it was just solidified my dislike of it. So that's all I have to say.
That's a fair point, Abe. That is a fair point, yeah.
Actually, Abe, I may change my answer to the previous question because there was probably no film whose ending I welcomed more.
Well played. Well played. B for Barrett.
Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. E for Eric.
I also went with The Giant.
That I didn't even think of that as a bad ending, but yeah, that was a terrible ending. Yeah,
it's good,
especially if it was an unreliable narrator. Yeah. Let's go with M for Michael.
Yeah, I'm gonna negate Barrett's previous answer for best ending and go with Tenet because of the sound design. Because Barrett, you'll back me up on this. There's a conversation between the heroine and the villain at the end of the film that explains why this thing that's supposed to happen that ends the world doesn't end the world. You can't hear a goddamn thing. I couldn't hear a goddamn thing about that at the end of the film.
Yeah, it was very difficult.
And that you, when the end of the film is explained in exposition and it's all being drowned out by quiet background music.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
That makes no sense. So that gets my worst ending of the year because of the sound design. Now, worst end of the ending of the year in terms of shitty storytelling for me, I don't know how you felt about Barry because otherwise we both liked the film, is The Babysitter. I think was a bullshit ending.
Yeah, it was.
All right, very good. Eric, would you concur with that because you saw The Babysitter too?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. How about that? All right. Now we go. P for Philip. Worst ending for me. And it's not because it's horrendous, but it's because it ruined what would have been a top three horror film of the year. And only because of the ending, it dropped to like 12th or 10th on my list. And I think a lot of you guys would agree with me on this one because it was a fucking great movie up until this point. And that was Sputnik's ending.
It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you, but I get where you're coming from.
I can see where you're coming from. Yeah,
I can see it. For me though, it was like the whole final act as opposed to just the end. But yeah, if you want to go with that as the ending, sure, I could see that because I really, really loved the beginning of the film, and really kind of at the end felt it degenerate into something generic.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and so I'm really, I guess you could say the fourth act or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, so no, I'm fine with that.
Yep, because it was a great film. It was. And it did make our top 10. Okay, so let's see, where's anything? Okay, Hero of the Year in genre film. So let's go with you, Abe.
I have a tie.
Okay.
I have Dylan O'Brien's character of Joe from Love and Monsters.
Yep,
and sure. Then the veterans of VFW.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's good, yeah.
I like it. B for Barrett.
I have a tie as well. I have Sarah
you
Butcher.
Cheaters!
A Good Woman is Hard to Find, and Kate Moss from The Invisible Man.
Yeah, those are both good ones. Absolutely. E for Eric.
I went with the character of Crystal from The Hunt, played by Betty Gilpin. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, very good. M for Michael.
Abe, you ignorant slut. The Hero of the Year absolutely was from Love and Monsters, but it was Boy.
Yeah. That was a very good dog. That's a very good dog.
You know what? I didn't even like that movie all that much, but yeah, Boy's a good dog.
Yeah, that's it. Boy's a good dog. And speaking of you ignorant slut, I watched that episode of The Office last night.
You had to bring it up, Mike.
I brought him a Saturday Night Live skit, and he turned it into The Office.
That's right. Dwight, you ignorant slut. That was awesome. Best show ever. All right.
Damn
so,
Aykroyd. Christ's sakes.
Right. Well, I'm going with Michael Scott, Steve Carell. All right. So P for Philip. I had the same as Barrett. The actress Sarah Belger from A Good Woman is Hard to Find. Kill them all. Kill them all. I was screaming at the TV. Even my wife was saying, kill them. My wife doesn't usually show emotions like that.
Well, she's been living with you for a while now.
Yeah, I'm rubbing off on her. Kill them all. Indeed. All right, so and then after the movie, she was proud. I picked that film, Philly. Don't forget it. All right, villain of the year in genre film. So let's go with A for Abe.
Even though there was a villain in my number one, it was kind of obscure and stuff like that. So I actually fell towards the creature from The Wretched.
That's a good villain. That is a good villain. Yeah, well done. B for Barrett.
I went with Adrian Griffin, the Invisible Man.
All right. That's
no, good. Yeah.
Okay. He isn't seen very much. I still liked him as a villain.
I'm still not sure if it was it really the brother. We still don't know. But all right, fair enough. But yeah, she would know he's a dink because he did beat her. So yeah, he's a villain. Fuck him. All right. Even if he wasn't the Invisible Man, he was a villain.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then we go E for Eric.
I'm going to go with Satan because he was the villain in 3 of my top 10 movies.
Oh, yeah. The Cleansing Hour, right? A couple of those.
The Dark and the Wicked.
Jackson and The Dark and the Wicked.
So The Cleansing Hour, The Dark and the Wicked, and what was the other one?
Anything for Jackson.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The Dark and the Wicked. All right, well done. You cheated. Oh, no, actually, he's only
one. I named one villain. He's just in three movies.
Fair enough. M for Michael.
With a villain, you can really go one of two ways. You have, like, your fun villain. You almost want to root for. Cersei. And then you have your villain who just does something so despicable and so unforgivable that they just burn it in your brain that you can't believe anyone did something so horrible.
Daenerys.
So for the enjoyable villains, the ones you kind of root for, I had to go with Audrey and Henry from Anything for Jackson.
That was a good.
Okay.
And then for the one that just did something totally despicable and unforgivable, I had to go with Phil Perrone for making us watch The Giant.
Just go! Oh! Blow, dude. Blow.
Oh, man.
Anyway. All right. P for Philip. And I have two as well. The fun one and the dink one. So the dink one is Aiden from the lodge. That kid deserved to die.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing and killed him. And then the fun villains, and there was the two because they were together villains, Val, played by Maddie Hassan, and Alexis, played by Alexandra Daddario, and We Summon the Darkness. They were awesome. Mm.
They were fun. They were.
You just pronounced an R. I'm so proud of you.
I did. And once again, a nod to Taylor Swift's family for that film. I pronounced it now. You're right. Okay, so that's that. And then we go to Best Creatures. So we go to Abe. What do you got?
I think it's all the amazing unique monsters and animals from Love and Monsters. There was just so much creativity and imagination put into there. I mean, they really built a unique world that, you know, I would love to revisit or get that survival guidebook if they ever make it.
All right, sounds good. All right, we go to Beef or Barrett.
I said underwater. I like the creatures in that.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. Aoife, Eric?
I went with Monster Hunter. There's not much else to that movie, but the monsters are really cool.
Oh, yeah, it's at theaters right now. All right, and M for Michael.
Yeah, it's got to be Love and Monsters.
Really? Okay. I got the. I'm glad. I thought this one was going to be named number one, but for me, P for Philip, the monster from Sputnik.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
It is a cool creature,
isn't it?
It might be reappearing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Creature, monster, kind of same, right? Alien, gray, whatever.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Career boost in genre cinema. So let's go with you, Abe.
Yeah, there was a number of folks that kind of popped in for the first time, and for film.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it would have to be Mrs. Hamilton, Mr. Edwards from MOM.
Yeah, those are good ones.
I think they worked really well with each other and carried a very strong film.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and we learned that the kid, he actually came from an acting family, and he hit it when he got the job. Mm-hmm. And when me and Eric got interviewed, I forget the guy who he's related to, but he was a big actor. Was that Eric?
Anthony Edwards.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, sounds good. So B for Barry.
So I have a tie here. Sarah Bulger for A Good Woman Is Hard to Find, and Lee Whannell from the director of The Invisible Man, mainly because he might have saved the Dark Universe from total destruction after The Mummy. So I think that was a good career boost for him.
Yeah, and it proved that Upgrade was no fluke. No, even though he has written many good screenplays.
I don't think anybody was talking shit about Lee Whannell before.
That is true. He's the best. He's the number one man. He's my guy. He's the dude. All right, let's go with E for Eric.
I went with Kira Allen, who's in the movie Run on Hulu this year. She is an actress that uses a wheelchair, and you don't see that a whole lot. And Run, I think on the weekend of its release, was streamed more than any other Hulu-released movie. Yeah, so that got her in front of some eyeballs and will probably get her some more opportunities. Which is, you don't see a whole lot of actors that are in wheelchairs. So I think that's great. And I hope she gets more roles.
And she wasn't just playing someone in a wheelchair. She actually, is a disabled, right. actress. And she was great in it too, even if the movie was overrated. Also another actor that was in a wheelchair that was really, a disabled person was, the owner of the building in The Office. That's right.
There's a guy that's in, Star Trek Discovery that has been in a lot of TV shows and stuff that also has an issue that's caused him to be in a wheelchair now too.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for the crickets, Eric.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have to throw my office. Well, I don't have to, but I just like to. I'm actually wearing my office hat right now that Christy sent me for Christmas.
Oh, good Lord.
And let's go. Yeah, what are
you inside?
What's that, Bert?
Nothing.
What is that, Barrett?
I said, aren't you inside? Why do you need a hat?
Oh, I know. Well, I put it on when I was outside, and I just left it on all day because it. I was being eccentric for the day. All right, so let's go with. Did we do E for Eric yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So let's go with M for Michael.
I'm sorry. The whole office thing got distracted. Career boost. I'm going to go with Richard Stanley, who has made a comeback with Color Out of Space.
That's a good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good.
P for Philip. I had actors and directors. So the directors was Richard Stanley and also the blockbuster directors of The Wretched, the Pierce Brothers. And then for the acting category, I had Sarah Bulger of A Good Woman Is Hard to Find, Riley Q for The Lodge, because I think she's eventually going to get A-list because of all the great roles she does in indie films. And then Nicole Bryden-Bloom, who we interviewed for 1BR. All right, let's go with Career Block. Had a misstep or something of that nature. Let's go with you, Abe.
Every poor bastard, young and old, and the giant.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The lead actress for The Giant was also the lead actress in The Stand. So that's a big block. Even though she did get two leads, but it's not looking good. Let's go with B for Barrett.
I say Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman 84.
That's fair. Even though I thought the movie was good. Let's go with E for Eric.
I went with David Duchovny. You know, we'll always love Fox Mulder, but he was in The Craft Legacy this year, playing a evil stepdad slash warlock. And that was unfortunate. I mean, it's not all his fault. Part of it's the script, but also he didn't carry it well. And
paycheck.
It's a paycheck, and I think he just should stop getting those at this point if he's going to do the stuff like that.
And I do feel sorry for you, Eric, for seeing that film.
I had to look.
Well, it wasn't like we were forced to do an episode like The Giant. This was by your choice.
Yes, it was my own doing.
Yes, all right.
I wasn't forced by some evil bastard to watch that movie.
Indeed. M for Michael. M for Michael.
Yeah, I heard you.
Well, we had a 10-second pause there. So.
And I'm checking my spec. Got to get back to my spreadsheet. All right. I can be snarky, and I can say AMC Theater. But I think in terms of an actor. All right. In terms of an actual actor, I went with Kristen Stewart for Underwater. Because I know there are people, because the movie was that spent a lot of money on the film. Disappointed greatly at the box office. And I know a lot of people who did not go see that film because Kristen Stewart was in it.
All right. Fair enough.
It's the Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone. Twilight Effect.
Okay. Fair enough. For me, P for Philip, I said Kristen Stewart as well. Hollywood keeps on trying to tell us that she's a major movie star and talent. Not that Underwater was a bad film, because I actually enjoyed it and she was fine in it. But they give her a lot of money and everything she does bombs. And I know she has a new film out on Netflix or something right now that's getting decent reviews. But some of her films do get decent reviews and they all bomb too. So I just don't know why they keep on shoving her in our face. Again, nothing wrong with her. I mean, I'm fine with her, but everything she does is it just
they keep trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're trying to make sirloin steak out of bologna or something.
That's a good one.
Yeah, anyway. All right, Sarah, fair enough.
Well,
so,
I mean,
yes, go on.
Do you just hate it when like people don't want to do something and they just keep trying to push it on you and push it on you, insisting you have to play this because they think it's important?
Right. I agree. I don't want it pushed on me. I don't want it.
All right. This ironic moment has been brought to you by
obliviousness.
Well, he was breaking up, so I didn't even hear what he said. So
he was taking a shot at you.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Unfortunately, he has crappy internet connections and stuff, so it's not my fault. All right, so we go to Best Scream Queen, and that can be the typical woman that's running away. It could be a final girl. It could be a kick-ass Jamie Lee Curtis from the last Halloween film. So who is the Best Scream Queen of 2020? Abe?
I have two. I have Melinda Hamilton from Mother of Monsters, and Maren Ireland from The Dark and the Wicked.
All right, that's fair. All right, that's fair, yeah. Let's go with B for Barrett.
I have two as well. I have Kate Moss in The Invisible Man, and then the main character from Open 24 Hours, Vanessa Mary. Playing
her
Mary.
Her name's Elizabeth.
It's Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, sorry. Elizabeth.
Oh, you said the supermodel.
I did. My brain's not working. Sorry.
No worries. Everybody knew who you're talking about, though. All right. Sounds good. E for Eric.
I also chose Elizabeth Moss for The Invisible Man.
Okay. Sounds good. M for Michael.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my internet again. I don't know what's going on. I went with Betty Gilpin for The Hunt.
Nice.
Nice. All right. And P for Philip. I went for a true scream queen. A lot of good yelling. And she was really good in the film, too. Chloe Carroll from The Honeymoon Phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we interviewed her, too. She was good.
Yeah.
All right. So, best surprise. So that could be acting performance. It could be movie. It could be, I guess, anything, because we didn't really define it. So, best surprise for you, Abe.
Well, best surprise, I suppose, would be Living Monsters. After a rough year of a lot of terrible things in 2020, whether that's real life events or some films or just everything. But I found a lot of Monsters to be a very lighthearted and fun film that was kind of a breath of fresh air. Just a fun adventure film that kind of, I don't know, it was just kind of freeing in a way just to enjoy something like that in such a dark year.
All right. B for Barrett.
I said anything for Jackson because the movie based on the title surprised me. And the bad guys surprised me, who turned out to be the bad guys. It happened very quickly in the beginning, but I was still surprised.
Yeah, that's a good one. Eva, Eric?
I went with Palm Springs. It came out, and everybody was talking about it. And I was like, oh, I've seen Andy Samberg do his Andy Samberg thing before. I don't know if I'm really that interested, but I'm trapped in my house, so why the fuck not? And watched it and was really pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed that movie. So Palm Springs is my best surprise.
All right, very good. M for Michael.
All right. But I didn't even know it was coming out. And it was dropped on us by surprise by Amazon. Not long before it did. The sequel to Borat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, not really genre, but okay, fair enough. All right, P for Philip. I had a bunch of honorable mentions, such as Anything for Jackson, 1BR, Alone.
You were all such a bunch of fucking cheaters.
Well, no, I'm just saying that these are a bunch of films that came out of nowhere that surprised me. But the biggest one was a film that I even skipped over, and then my wife said, "No, we're watching that." And it's a film called A Good Woman Is Hard to Find. That film was a huge surprise, and it became the best film of the year for me. All right. Most disappointing. Let's go with you, Abe.
So I guess in terms of disappointment, I don't think it's any single film. I think it would have to be all the pushbacks and delays of certain films that we were expecting. There were just so many films that just couldn't make it to the theaters or had, you know, productions, you know, halted because of the virus. So, you know, I think that was the most disappointing because there were some really cool films that I was looking forward to. It sounds like maybe this year things will be different, but, you know, we still got a lot of ways to go before things, any sort of sense of normalcy could return.
That's fair. Okay. That's a good answer. Mate. We'll go with it. All right.
That's what I'm saying. I was just saying there was any single film that was disappointing. It was just all the films that were the disappointment was all the films that were delayed.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. All right. B for Barrett.
Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, that's fair. E for Eric.
I went with The Craft Legacy. You know, there's that certain crowd out there that's always going to crap over any remake or sequel. And I was hoping that all the negativity towards this movie was just those people. And I wanted it to be good because I really enjoyed the original, but it turns out it's actually that bad, and that's unfortunate.
So, Eric, you on your own free will decided to watch both Black Christmas and this film on your own free will?
Black Christmas.
Yes.
Wah.
Damn. But Black Christmas.
They can't all be winners.
I know, but I just got to give you credit. You took the bullet, even though you knew you were probably going to hurt yourself by doing it.
No, I just don't swallow what everybody feeds me, hook, line, and sinker. I want to see for myself.
Oh, that's fair. I just assume because of what a lot of folks said, I assume some people that you have good opinions on their opinions. That's all. That's all I meant.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right. M for Michael.
So I would say most disappointing. I just have here my spreadsheet. I just have the letters W, which and I suppose for Wonder Woman or Westworld season 3. I'm not sure which one it's.
Oh, that was pretty disappointing.
But it's
going
to be one of those two.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Mine is P for Philip is not as legit. It was more because I think I had hopes very, 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 very high. And so I guess I was disappointed. So not because the film was disappointing, but that film is Abe's best horror film of the year, The Dark and The Wicked. It was a good film. It's just that I felt it was a little disappointing because I was expecting it to jump all the way to my top five, and it just didn't work for me, even if it was a good film. All right, so most overrated. Abe, what do you got?
I honestly didn't find some films that I thought were overhyped. So I'm going to go ahead and say not applicable for me this time.
That's fair. B for Barrett.
I put 1BR. I thought people were saying that was really good, and I didn't find it as good as everyone seemed to think it was. So.
Okay, fair enough. E for Eric.
Everybody else has been doing multiple ones, so I'm going to do two here. One is His House. Everybody was raving about that movie, and I watched it and didn't get the same thing out of it that everybody else seems to be. And the other one was VFW. Man, I just don't get what everybody was going crazy about on this movie. Everybody's totally jerking off over this movie, and I'm just like, well, it's okay. I don't understand why everybody was going so berserk over it. So VFW was what I had written here.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I would agree with you on His House. I was somewhat disappointed. And my wife was as well. Again, fine film, but yeah. And then, fair enough about the other one. M for Michael.
All right. My most overrated is a TV series. That would be Lovecraft Country. I enjoyed it, but there were so many fundamental storytelling problems with it. And we certainly spent a lot of time on the podcast going over that. But yeah, I don't understand why everyone was praising it to high heaven.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I almost put that down too. But if you look at the audience reviews versus the critic reviews, the audience gave it, I think, a rotten. And so I think it's more critical. And oddly, a lot of the people that we talked to on Facebook and the various horror communities for some reason liked it. But general audiences, yeah, they were more apt to say it was not that good. So I didn't put it down because of that. So I instead put down a film that a lot of people gave good reviews to, but I couldn't stand it. And I almost lost my friendship with Eric because of it. That is The Deeper You Dig. I have no idea why people think that's a great film when at best it was okay. But that's just me. That's just me. And I apologize to you, Eric, deeply. Please forgive.
You already have. It's all good.
Very good. Best monster creature. So, yeah, I see how you get where everybody's talking about best creatures earlier. So, okay, so best monster creature. Abe, what do you got?
I guess if I had a single creature, I have to say because it was really the highlight of that film. It had to be the Lovecraftian giant beast at the end of Underwater.
Oh, Cthulhu. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Spoiler.
I guess. All right, so let's go with the Beef or Barrett.
I put Sputnik. I thought that individual creature was really awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right, let's go with Eve Erk.
I also went with the creature at the end of Underwater.
All right, sounds good. M for Michael.
Sputnik.
All right, sounds good. And for me, since I already said Sputnik earlier, I will go with the giant frog in Love and Monsters.
That was a cool creature, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. I almost picked the snail, but yeah, the frog was pretty solid. Best genre TV show this year, Abe. Did you watch any?
Nope.
All right, non-applicable. Eric. I mean Barrett. B for Barrett.
I put Utopia. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, I never even heard of that one. How about that?
It's an Amazon Prime show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It only got one season. It was already canceled, but I really liked the first season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it, so maybe a lot of people hadn't heard of it. Sounds good. Let's go with Eva Eric.
I went with a different Amazon series. I went with The Boys.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
M for Michael.
How about a show that ended this? Even though it's a show about death and hell, it is about as anti-2020 a thing as you can possibly of The Good Place.
The Good Place.
The Good Place. Okay.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. P for
but
Philip.
There's a lot of great TV out there.
P for Philip. I have to say Ozark season 3, best show ever.
Ever.
Darlene is awesome. One of the best villains ever. All right. And she's not even the main villain, and yet she's one of the best villains ever. All right. Sounds good. Worst genre TV show. Abe, have you seen any terrible genre TV shows?
Nope.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go to Barrett. I already know the answer.
Even though it is not ending until this year, I put The Stand. It started in 2020, and it is the worst piece of garbage ever.
Indeed. Aoife Erik.
I went with a series called Hellstrom. That's on Hulu. I think it's based on a Marvel property, yeah. if I'm not mistaken. But I lost interest after 3 episodes. I was just like, I'm out. I don't care about those. So
it's like their version of Constantine. It's like their version of Constantine, I think.
You know,
supposed to be, yeah.
All right, very good.
But they tried to make it like Constantine. He's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with Mike.
Started watching and I just couldn't bring myself to finish. You know, there are some that were. This is the. I didn't watch anything that had bad reviews. I didn't watch anything that I didn't finish other than that. So I'm going to have to go with Hellstrom.
Hellstrom. Okay, gotcha. All right, sounds good.
Hellstrom.
Yeah, I got it. All right, for me, P for Phil. I originally had The Outsider, but then I saw a worse show called Lovecraft Country, but then I saw a worse show than that, and that was The Stand. The Stand. I concur with Barrett. The Stand is absolutely the most horrible show ever.
And you've done podcasts about all of those, so you have hours and hours of Phil bitching and complaining available for you to listen to.
I did not for The Outsider. I did not, thank God.
Didn't you? I thought you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I did for Lovecraft Country, which I couldn't stand, and then The Stand, which is an ongoing podcast called Don't Tell Me, I'll Tell You, The Stand podcast, which is co-hosted by myself and Barrett. It's a weekly podcast on the CBS All Access television show. So if you want to hear a lot of bitching, as Eric just said, listen to that podcast.
There is quite a bit of it, but we do a lot of laughing too. So
indeed, we do. All right, so that pretty much wraps up our list of questions. A couple other things I want to bring up for video games. Definitely recommend Cyberpunk 2077. Genre came out last year in December. It got some backlash because of some technical problems because they rushed it out. But those technical problems are fixed. And it is a really, 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 really good science fiction, cyberpunk action video game, very much like a Saints Row or Grand Theft Auto, but in a Blade Runner, Mad Max type of universe, because it has both outside the city and inside the city. So I highly recommend there. Great video game. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up? Animes or other TV shows or books or anything that was good for 2020 recap?
No.
Nope.
I read the new Harry Dresden books and I enjoyed those. They came out last year, two of them.
Are those fantasy or science fiction or
urban fantasy?
Oh, okay. All right, so those are recommends?
Yeah. If you like Harry Dresden books, then you'll like these.
All right, very good. All right, and Abe, no enemies that you wanted to mention?
I've been actually just started watching a Korean mini series on Netflix called Sweet Home, which is based off a webcomic that had that you can actually read on Webtoons. Which is about an apartment complex in Korea that is besieged by shape-shifting monsters. Imagine The Mist mixed with some over-the-top action and monsters. And you got yourself a pretty fun series so far. I've only got two episodes in, but it's pretty good so far. I haven't read the original source material, but I plan to see what's the difference in terms of translating from its original source to the adaptation. But if you're looking for some creature features, you know, or some I don't know, just some over the top fun, then check it out.
All right, sounds good. So all these lists will be. At least the top movie lists will be on the darkdiscussions.com page as what we call articles, I guess. Articles, so it'll be written, so you'll have access to them that way. Once again, the top 10 horror films are The Dark and the Wicked, Open 24 Hours, Sputnik, We Summon the Darkness, The Hunt, The Wretched, Color Out of Space, 1BR, VFW, Anything for Jackson, and The Invisible Man, in that order, from 10 to 1. Every one of those were episodes of the Dark Discussions podcast, except for The Hunt, for pandemic reasons. We did forget that one actually was not an episode. Then we have, for speculative fiction, those that are genre but not horror, and that would be Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. As number 10, Greyhound, Unhinged, Soul, Promising Young Woman, Swallow, Little Joe, Bill and Ted Face the Music, Wonder Woman 1984, Love and Monsters, and A Good Woman is Hard to Find. Again, that list will be there too. All right, so that's pretty much our 2020 recap episode. Thank you for all the people who sent us their list as well. We appreciate anybody who's been listening. We've been getting now audio stats of top podcasts of the week because of the new changes to the website. So we're actually now discovering that people are actually listening to us.
Yay!
Yes, we're averaging around 600 people a day just for the listening. Never mind, you know, all the podcasts on the network. Never mind. Who knows how many people are actually reading the articles. So we are getting traffic. So that is good. So yay, as Eric said. We're always looking for columnists. So anybody who wants to be a columnist and write about reviews of films, articles about, you know, things in horror or whatever, please contact us. Just go to the contact us form and fill that out and title Wanted Columnist, and so we'll know that it's not spam. And that's pretty much it. So any feedback you guys have about our list, please email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com or go to www.darkdiscussion.com. Press the contact us form. So with all that stated, I guess, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us. Look back at the year of 2020 in genre film. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
Happy 2021.